Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast, the final episode of the season. I am Jake, with me is Mike.
What is up everybody, and joining us as always is Ben.
Hey everyone, just a preparation, I'm going to yell out a name.
It might be a name Harry that Potter people are character. Familiar with too. They're going to have no idea what the hell is going on, but...
This is the problem when we get way off topic in our pre-show discussion. So Jake has now stumped me with a name.
Whoever wants to play along, it is Helena Bonham Carter's character's name from Harry Potter. We're trying to remember what that name was. I'm sure many of you listening have just said the name right now.
Don't you say it.
I apparently wasn't paying attention. That's Beatrix Lestrange.
God damn go. It, Mike.
Look, there you go. Yeah, Mike could have fixed this problem 10 minutes ago. This is what happens.
So we just about certain things. Now we've just learned that Mike doesn't pay attention in pre-show discussion.
No, I'm miles away doing many other things.
Good to know. All right, problem solved.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Finishing touches on all of our award lists of this year. And yes, this is our big season finale, where we all are going to list our 10 favorite games of 2018, along with some other little side things that we are going to do, talk about our favorite
If you've listened in the past, it's the same format, as always.
Right, yeah, we're going to talk about our favorite old game of the year, which is basically a game that didn't come out this year that we played for the first time, then we're going to talk a little bit about our favorite TV shows and movies, and then at the end we're going to have a little homework for each of us.
Yeah, a nice little surprise. That'll be something we haven't done before.
Let's kick it off with not video games and go into our favorite TV and movie.
Oh, good. Stuff that I'm not prepared for.
Fantastic.
No, it's,
well,
I
figured
we I don't care.
We'll start
shit.
With the non-video game stuff first. So I will kick it off. My TV show is one that did not debut this year, but I did not start watching, I think, as I'm probably not alone. Until this year, that would be The Good Place. Yes, I mean,
love that show.
This is, I'd say, as far as like a show that got kind of huge this year, this might be like the show that kind of just blew up out of nowhere. Very relatively unknown, as far as surprising, considering, I mean, Kristen Bell and Ted Danson are two fairly popular names.
That's
for the
what
most
this
part,
show
the rest
is.
Of that cast
aren't they like
is,
angels or something?
Yes, it's all based in the. Yes, but no.
Okay. It's a show about the afterlife.
It's a comedy,
right? About
the
afterlife. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So, where can I watch it?
NBC. So it is on Hulu.
Okay.
And Netflix.
Maybe Netflix.
Netflix has it too.
Already? Yeah. Wow. How many seasons?
I think the fourth season. They're in the fourth season.
Holy
right now.
Shit! All right, I need to watch this show.
Yeah, they're short seasons.
It's like 12 or whatever episodes. It's not like the full 22. Or whatever they do on broadcast TV. But yeah, it's Michael Schur, same guy was involved in, was it The Office?
He was Moe's on The Office. He was in Parks and Rec. He created Parks and Rec, and he also helped create Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You might have heard of that one.
As well. So, yeah, if you're a fan of any of those shows, by all means, this will fit right in there with it.
And if you're not, what the hell is wrong with you?
Also, yeah, if you don't like at least one of those shows, what is wrong with you is very, very much correct. What was your favorite TV show this year, Ben?
I will jump in here and steal the prize for best show picked in this category, and that's Sharp Objects. That was on HBO.
I watched part of this, and it looked good from what I watched.
Oh, my God. Like, just getting through that show and, like, getting through the final credits, and my brain was just on fire from what I watched. It was just so phenomenal. Everybody involved in that show was great. Which is hilarious, kind of tying back to me just watching it for the first time. I'm going to just throw that in here and things I've done in 2018. I finally got around to watching new movie, It.
You still got to watch the original.
Still need to watch the original, but I'm watching the new movie, and the actress who played
Beverly.
The female, but yeah, Beverly, I kept thinking throughout the movie, I'm like, holy crap, she just looks like Amy Adams. This is ridiculous. She could play Amy Adams in a movie, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute. Did she play Amy Adams in something? And sure enough, she was in Sharp Objects as young Amy Adams. Great casting. So, because that's all I can think about watching it was, that's Little Amy Adams. But Sharp Objects, if you have not watched this show, you need to watch it. It definitely pushes the envelope in comfortability, I guess. I don't know. It will keep you on edge. It's not a comfortable show. It keeps your mind like turning the entire time, and it doesn't stop.
Have you read the books, Ben?
I did not. And I've got to get my hands on that because it would be interesting to read that. Because if it's as good as the show, then I'm definitely going to enjoy that because the show is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a show I need to watch.
Limited series, so this is it. Honestly, I don't want any more. I don't want a season two of this because it would make zero sense.
Also wouldn't be based on source material, right? Since there's only one book anyway?
Depending on where the book left, I mean, who knows? The book could have left off at the end of episode two, for all we know. And the rest of it was source material. But it was very good. If you have not watched it, I highly recommend checking that one out.
All right.
How about you, Mr. Jake?
I will, I'm going to throw the obvious down and say Haunting of Hill House. Mostly because when I was introduced to the show by you guys, initially I just thought it was a horror show. And I think that that's what it's advertised as, the horror thriller style. It's so much more than that. And I really appreciate that about the show, is that it still manages to do at its core what it's supposed to be, and that's horror. Well, I would say it's more of a thriller. I think horror is really hard to do nowadays. But it's also a drama and some incredible story. It's probably some of the best storytelling I've ever seen in, like, a quote-unquote horror show. And then what really just put the cherry on top for me was the directing. The cinematography, the directing, how this entire show has been put together and shot and adapted from the book, because the book was kind of a, it's not campy, but it was more of like a B horror style, and this is anything but that. And yeah, it was some of the best thriller content I've ever seen from either a television show or a movie. So all that hype that you guys threw in there beforehand, that show 100% lived up to it. And now, Mike, it's your turn to watch that show.
Yeah, actually watch it. Like, sit down and watch it. I didn't do the side eye thing that I usually do with shows. I actually sat and watched it because I knew how important it was to catch everything going on in the background. And apparently, there's so much going on in the background I didn't even know about, and I have to go back and watch it again.
I started watching the first episode again. There's like two or three ghosts that I've seen that are just fucking standing there in the room because they do such a good job at pulling your eyes, pardon me, to what they want you to see. It's very sleight of hand. It's
framed so well.
It's very, very well. Which is crazy because that entire episode six, where it's, so the episode's an hour long. There are five shots the entire, I counted, there's five shots that entire episode. They're about 15 to 20 minutes each. Or 10 to 15 minutes each, sorry. And it holds the tension of all of those scenes so well. And for a show like that, that's trying to go for tense and a little bit scary, it's so effective. And the last thing I'll say about that show is it stays with you. I don't get scared easily, especially not by media content. It messed me up a little bit one or two nights where I thought I heard or saw things.
Oh yeah, you always feel like there's somebody behind you.
Mm-hmm.
A good and after watching the show,
that one scene by them in episode two or three in the bedroom. No. This is something different.
Oh no,
it was episode five. You're right. I don't know why I thought it was earlier. That one scene in episode five in the bedroom is one of the most disturbing scenes of anything I've ever watched. It was disturbing and heartbreaking at the same time, and that's something that will stay with me for a long time, because that was very effective. That entire episode was very effective.
So, oh yeah, it gets to you.
I think five was my favorite, as well as like six was, as well as six was shot, and like how even the rest of that show was great. I think for me, episode five was my favorite. But yeah, I recommend that to anybody that likes horror or can handle that kind of stuff. So yeah, that television show.
Episode five felt like a season finale, but it was the fifth episode.
Yeah, and each episode is kind of like a different character, so they all kind of have that feeling of like, this is that final episode for this character, and then they bring things together, and in certain instances it is the final thing for certain people. It's very strange, man. That show is incredibly well done. But that's television shows.
Coming in and taking care of business is crazy too.
Oh my god, yeah. That you gotta watch
Hugh Jackman,
right?
To pull that out of the closet.
Oh, it's on the list.
I'm just going along with anything Ben says now.
keep any sort of schedule when it comes.
No,
to
I know. I know.
Because there's just too much.
There's too much.
Like too much good TV to try to keep current with everything. So it's just like I just watch it when I get to it, and that's just
makes sense.
It's high up on the list. Believe me, I think it's like Castlevania is like the one thing I want to watch the most right now.
That's what I'm watching now. It's very good.
So I could knock that out in like a day or two, and then that's pretty much like right after it.
Yeah.
So it definitely will be in the relatively near future.
Nice. I think you'll
that wraps up our favorite television, and we'll flip right over to the other side to favorite movie of this year. And strangely, like I again, like with TV, do not tend to stay current for the same reason. It's just because there's a lot of good stuff, and I'm weird about movies. Like I will, rather than watch something new, I will watch something I've seen like 40 times for the 41st time. Just
I watched The Sandlot today.
See, yeah, I watched. You know, I went through my Christmas movie like rotation, and you know that kind of spins out into other movies, and yeah, it's so yeah. But this year, I didn't keep a count, but it was definitely like I think I saw almost 20-ish movies that came out in the calendar year 2018, which blew my mind because that was definitely, I think, the most I've ever seen in a single year. And as usual, dominated by, you know, superhero Marvel, you know, movies. I think all the ones I've seen this year were good. I didn't see Venom, but it doesn't seem like I'm missing all that much. But my favorite, however...
Oh, I watched Venom over the weekend. You are... Oh, you... it's bad. It was just it's entertaining because Tom Hardy is great, but he's great in anything he does. But if you're at all a Spider-Man fan, the whole core of Venom's character is he's Venom because he hates Spider-Man. Like the symbiote finds Brock and consumes his hatred and uses the hatred of Spider-Man to be Venom. In this, it's just weird. They're like an alien species, and Venom is fighting with Riot, and he's his own dude, and he talks to him, and he has his own face, and it's very strange. And then you have a very interesting cameo from a certain character that, if they ever make a second one, is going to be out of control nuts.
Is it Maximum Carnage?
Yeah, well, it is Carnage, yeah, and it's fucking Woody Harrelson with, like, a fucking gigantic red afro, and it's hilarious looking.
Dang it, Jake!
I'm sorry,
I wanted
Ben
to see that for the first time without knowing that's coming.
I'm sorry.
Saved us 2 hours.
I would
look up.
All right, I'll Google
sorry,
it then.
No,
but
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Look up the scene. It's still worth watching. I did save you 2 hours, though.
I haven't heard anything good about Venom other than
it was unfortunate.
You got to see the Into the Spider-Verse trailer at the end.
It was more in a trailer. It was like 10 or 15 like minutes. Dude, I need to see that movie. It's supposed to be great.
I need to. I did want to see that.
I'm sorry I ruined that for you. It was just the moment of how funny I thought it was. I just wanted to
see it. I already had my coworker spoil the end for me and everything. Oh, but I didn't. She didn't tell me about that, so I'll have to give her a high five at work.
It was. If they ever make a second one, I would love to see him as Carnage, because I think it'll be fucking awesome. It's an entertaining movie. It's just not...
When does Sony get Spider-Man back? Maybe they're just trying to build up to that.
Well, originally they were going to do Sinister Six after Spider-Man 2, and then Marvel grabbed it and made this Spider-Man, and now they're making this. The second one comes out this year sometime with Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. I actually think that'll be quite good.
Yeah, that comes out in 2019.
Yeah, there should be a trailer for that sometime soon. That I think will be quite good, but I don't know. So Sony's whole deal with that is always weird. Also, Marvel now has the rights to X-Men because of Fox. So we'll see what they do with that. But I hope nothing, because Jackman doesn't want to do it again, and I don't think you should revive.
I think Disney can afford to have Jackman do it one more.
No, he said he didn't want to. It's a matter of...
You know what? You know what they could do is, because now they have Deadpool, and I'm pretty sure Ryan Reynolds wants Hugh Jackman to show up as Wolverine.
X-Force movie.
That is going to blow the lid off everything.
If you can do Deadpool 3 as X-Force, and do fucking Wolverine, and Deadpool, and... I guess it would depend which version of X-Force you were going to do. You could throw a multitude of characters in there, but
speaking of X-Force, I just want to mention that my favorite movie of 2018 is Deadpool 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll just throw that in there now while we're on this topic.
Well, go ahead then. Talk about Deadpool 2.
The shit was hilarious. I thought it was funnier than the first. I mean, I guess I can't say it was funnier than the first because I'll still watch the first one and find
it
hilarious.
It's different than the first, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of the same,
as
but different.
As funny as the first?
Well, it's more of like a buddy comedy, I feel.
No better or worse.
Well, yeah, the second one has a lot more people he's playing off of. The first one, I felt, was a lot more just him. Like, straight up him.
Oh, yeah. There was. I mean, it was him, then he had the... You know, he got Colossus and Negasonic, and he had...
But in this one, you have, like, five or six people that he's got around him...
Oh,
most
absolutely.
Of the time, yeah. And Cable.
And he puts together his team, then Cable shows up. Oh, man.
How insane is it that he's in two of the biggest franchises out there right now as far as money-making for superheroes?
I know. It kills me that Josh Brolin can just show up and be Thanos and Cable in the same year and no one bats an eye. That's great. Good for him. Who would have thought that the older brother from Goonies?
Yeah, that always, that's the best right part now. About that whole thing. Well, Reynolds did Green Lantern before he did this, and
Chris Evans did
Fantastic Four before he became Captain America. There's a couple other ones, too. Or maybe not. Maybe those are the three. I thought there was one or two other ones. It's very funny when you look back at the history of some of this stuff, of who played what. Was the reboot of Fantastic Four? Oh, no, that was a different actor. That wasn't from Black Panther. Never mind.
Oh, you're thinking of what?
I thought it was Michael B. Jordan in... Yeah. Was it?
No. Michael B. Jordan was in Black Panther and Creed.
Right, I know, but who was the dude in the remake of Fantastic Four?
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah,
it is the same. That's what I said. So he's the other one that I was thinking of that did multiple movies in different for Fox and then Marvel.
I was kind of upset they killed him in Black Panther. Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
he could have maybe this whole
When they turn back time and then holy shit, you could totally do that. If that's how they're going to bring him back, wow, this is just full of spoilers. Sorry, kids, it's the end of the year. But yeah, that's a brilliant idea. I never even thought of that. I mean, that's how they're going to bring back pretty much everybody anyway. So
Who are we on now? Is it Jake's turn?
No, because I never actually named my favorite movie.
No, we went off on a tangent, and then you said Deadpool 2. No, we did not. No, he didn't.
Okay, then what Marvel is my movies? Favorite movie?
He didn't say it yet.
You tell Deadpool me, because I didn't say it. Balls.
Let's just all say Deadpool 2. Yeah.
No.
What's yours,
Ben? Halloween.
Like, oh, the remake. Yeah.
So
same cinematic universe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So two things I am extremely critical on in this day and age. Horror movies, one. And reboots / remakes is two, because in both categories, most of them now are terrible. And I've seen quite a few terrible, not only horror movies and reboots in 2018, which will remain nameless because they're not even worth mentioning. But Halloween did a really good job. This is basically the, second time this is being rebooted, because the Rob Zombie, this is outside of that. It's almost like a reboot, but not really. This kind of picks up after the end of the second movie and retcons everything after that. So it's sort of a reboot, but not really. It's more of like a reimagining of where the series went. It's like an alternate universe branch that really paid off. They did a very good job of making a quality horror movie in 2018 while keeping the feel of the original Halloween movies, right down to doing some like shot for shot, like basically repeats of the original. And they felt really nice and organic. And for people that were really into those movies and that picked up on them, it's kind of like a nice little wink of saying like, hey, we know where these movies came from and we kind of want to retell some of those iconic scenes in the movie. It took a weird kind of turn in the third act that I mean, it was surprising and didn't really understand nor enjoy, but it did not ruin the movie as a whole. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis still had a very good performance. Everyone in that movie was fantastic. And yeah, for a time where horror movies are mostly bad and few and far between are actually like worth watching, Halloween was a very nice surprise. And I hope they never make another one again, because I feel like this is a solid conclusion to that franchise, and let's just let it rest once and for all.
All right.
So that's my favorite movie.
I agree with Ben, but just to be different, I'm going to say something else. The problem is I don't know what to say. I honestly think that
the
you're
Meg.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Hell yeah. Man, I hate that it's all going to be comic book stuff. I guess I'll go with Infinity War, even though I can't think of any. Honestly, I've seen so much shit this year. I don't know what I think it's Deadpool 2. I guess I can just say Deadpool 2. I agree with you, Ben.
I'll allow it, because it's okay. A great movie.
It is. I'm just trying to think of something different that maybe I hadn't seen before, or I don't know. I guess not. You know what was a good movie that I saw? Okay, here we go. I hadn't seen it until this year. Ben Kingsley and House of Sand and House of Sand and Fog.
Oh,
not Jennifer Garner. Jennifer
Lawrence.
No. Have you never seen House of Sand and Fog?
Lopez. No. All right. I don't even know what that movie is.
You're making up a movie, aren't you? Just to not talk about Deadpool.
Jennifer Connelly and Ben Kingsley.
So close.
Yeah.
It was so good. It blew your mind so much you forgot who was in it.
No, I was. I said it was a Jennifer. I can never. Connelly and Garner, and I mix them all up. But it was good. It's from 2003. You guys have never seen it. She's a.
I'm sorry. Did you say 2003?
Yeah, I just said I wanted to be different, so I picked a movie that wasn't from this year. I said that I would easily go with Deadpool 2, but I wanted to be different, so I picked something else.
Tell us all about this film.
I'm just gonna make it easy. Deadpool 2, easy on to video games. Done.
Look at that. But he really liked
House of Sand and Fog.
I would say check it. It's good. It was really good. I love Ben Kingsley. And anything
he's
in.
Yeah, the guy's awesome. His name's Ben.
Yeah, it's that was a good old movie I watched. But yeah, I would agree with you. Deadpool 2 was really good. I really love that Reynolds has made it his baby. Like, he refused to do it unless they gave him creative control, and they originally wanted to make it PG-13, but he made it R. Same thing with the first movie. So I really love what he's done. I wonder where they're going to go from here, because you can't really just keep... I guess you could, but eventually it's going to wear thin. So I wonder what they're going to do. You can't really implement them into, like, an X-Men movie. I guess you could bring them over into the Marvel universe, or the Marvel Cinematic Universe that they've created, if you wanted to throw them in, like, a comedy. Like, if they ever do another comedy one based on Earth that's not Guardians or something, you could throw him in there. Or fuck, do an X-Force movie. You could have a
series. They're going to need another comedy since Guardians is never coming back.
Yeah, but I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I don't know another comedy that I can, that off the top of my head, that Deadpool would be good in. But again, you can also just do something serious and throw him in there, too. Like, you could do a serious X-Force
movie. He's doing fine on his own.
No, I know, but I'm just saying you can't make... What, are you going to have Deadpool 10?
Sure.
It's going to run thin eventually.
Deadpool 10.
Yeah.
Him wheeling around in a wheelchair, pretending to be broken, but then they pop somebody else in the suit to do all the
On the subject of Ryan Reynolds, have you seen his advertisement for the for his alcohol company? It's, or what is it, I think it's like a gin company. It's hilarious.
Yeah, selling gin.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the commercial, but I knew
the commercial
was
hilarious. The fucking end line is like, an American-made gin, now owned by a Canadian. It's he's fantastic, but yeah, Deadpool 2, fantastic stuff.
Okay, moving on to video games, and we are also going to take a step back and talk about old video games. Yes, this is our old game of the year, where we each will choose a winner of what game did we play this year that didn't come out this year that we really loved the most.
I'll go first.
I played.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go. No, by all means.
Okay, I'm just trying to switch it up for who. Ben, you went first. First, okay. Ben went first.
Pretty
that
sure
one.
We may have a.
I'm not keeping score.
Same
I
winner,
don't care.
So we'll see.
Well, yep. I don't know. I mean.
It's tough. It's tough. I think we all played a lot of good
old games.
Well,
I don't know how to approach DBD.
I played more old games than new games.
I guess. So did I. I think I'm going to throw DBD off because we talked about how it's then we'd
that's
have to
Dead
throw
by Daylight
like Siege
for the
yeah,
layman.
Sorry. I'll say this about Dead by Daylight. I put way more time into it than I ever expected I would for the game that it is. And I'm still playing it to this day. So hats off to Dead by Daylight for continuing to make good content. Obviously the last two DLCs were a little bit rough. But which is why I'm not playing it right now. But I'm going to not say that that's my old game of the year, just because what we were talking about offcast, you know, it. Yes, it's new every 3 months for the new season, but it's not. It's not.
It's not old. It's not new.
It's not
it's
old. It's not
it
new.
Kind of
yeah, it's
in
kind
its
of
own
yeah.
Face with
yeah.
like your Overwatches and your Rocket
exactly.
League and Siege and
yeah.
stuff like that.
My other two honorable mentions before I get to my game, my old game of the year, Rise of the Tomb Raider. This is something that Ben also played this year
and
enjoyed, and I thought it was really good too. And from everything I've heard about the new one, once again, the second one seems to be the best in the series, just like with Darksiders 2. So I don't think there's a need to play the third one, but I've heard that it's not bad. I've heard it's just not as good as the second one. So I know you're playing on. Planning on playing it at some point, Mike. So, I guess
yes,
based on
get around
you
to
say,
yeah. my Gamefly marathoning Uncharted Lost Legacy will be up next for me. So
ooh,
will,
let me know how that is. That's been like $5.
It's like I think under $10 on the current holiday sale right now.
I'm sure
so
it's good.
It was just like so. I will power through that, and I believe Shadow of the Tomb Raider will be next. So I will be playing that
nice
very soon.
My second runner-up is Prey. This is the remake from like the old series on
as well.
360. This was really good. The characters were fantastic. It was nothing like the original. Something they did super well was everything outside of the ship when you're in space feels terrifying. I have a major case of thalassophobia, which is like big things underwater, or like things that aren't supposed to be there kind of underwater. Space has like a weird opposite effect for me, because it's this wide open space, but it's just kind of empty. So there's like this mission where you, I don't know if you did this, Mike, where you have to fly to like the little shuttle.
Oh yeah.
Oh, holy shit. That was terrifying. And then once you
turn
around...
Well, I think
also,
too, it combines with the fact that the movement in space felt really good and felt, mm-hmm. like, kind of realistic.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of, like, it was all jet propulsion, so if you fling yourself forward fast enough, you are flying like
mm-hmm.
a rocket. And
you can
hit
bounce off this... Yep. Like, you can bounce off stuff.
Like,
it was
felt,
terrifying.
It felt like how you would actually move around in space, so that added to the kind of tension as well.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because you're right. Like, even inside the ship... when you're using the goo gun and stuff like that, the movement in that game was really well done. You could traverse certain puzzles.
I say the goo gun
in
you
many ways you want. Oh
awesome
yeah,
way.
You could go up through
in
that
really
elevator shaft right
yeah.
away without. That's like mm-hmm. towards the end of the game that you're not supposed to be up there. Yeah,
the,
it was very.
The
cool.
game is like secretly almost like a sandbox, because it allows you to do whatever you want if you
yeah.
can think of a way to pull it off.
Provide well. Certain things were locked. So, like, there was a perk where you had to be strong enough to move certain things that were like in front of vents and stuff. Some of those I feel like were locked behind, unless you could
true.
Like jump up like through vents and stuff like that. But yeah, my biggest complaint with Prey, I'm talking about this as if it was my game of the year. It was really good, by the way. My biggest complaint with Prey was how crazy of a difficulty spike that game took.
Ooh,
like,
it was bad.
It was, I turned that game down to, like, easy on certain parts just to get through it so I didn't go nuts. Because, holy shit.
It was all
the
mirror.
It was weird, though. Like, it just, you'd, like, enter a new area and then all of a sudden you'd just be dead. Like, there were one or two instances that I can think of, especially, like, in the atrium area was the big area that I remember having issues, where there was just, like, mm-hmm. a million enemies and there was nothing
and...
you could do.
Ammunition is not, it's kind of like in the Resident Evil
yeah.
library of like you have
pick
some,
and choose
but
your battles
yeah
and yeah. and if you wanted more you had to sacrifice other things because they had like a crafting system that you could use to like make more health and make more mm-hmm. it was really cool. You know what, I didn't finish what I was originally going to say as my game of the year, so Prey is my old game of the year, because I'm going to let you talk about my runner-up
okay.
is Hollow Knight. I have not finished it yet, so I don't want to make it my old game of the year. I know it's, spoiler alert, well, actually, this will lead into you. I'll let you talk about it. But, yeah, Prey, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Definitely worth playing.
I think it would
big
have
time.
Made both of our top tens had we played it last year.
Oh yeah,
it really would have been on mine.
Easily. The story was really good too. Like the
mm-hmm.
twists and turns that
so.
It takes are really cool.
Yeah.
And you can also choose to end that game about 10 hours earlier
right. yeah,
if you
lots
want
of different
to.
Story branches when it comes
yeah.
to endings
was,
and stuff too.
I gotta
so.
Play that game
yeah.
again. I think it was really really good. But yeah. That's
especially
my game
I
of the year.
The Moon Crash DLC is on sale right now.
I'm
too,
kind so. Of interested in yeah, that. I know it's a completely different experience, though. You know what it is, right? Where it's like
yeah,
you're
it's
five
like
different people and trying
of.
To. Yeah. It seems interesting. But yeah, Prey, my old game of the year. And that'll lead into Mike for what my original game of the year was going to be. And that's for you.
Yes. Like I said, Prey was also one of my honorable mentions. Obviously, have to mention Fortnite, as is that is definitely my most played game of this year. It is definitely not not my old game of the year.
I'm right there next to you.
Easily most played, and Fortnite has basically taken the world by storm in a way we've never seen any game do ever. So obviously, you have to give credit to that game. I think this game made my top 10 last year, but I kind of have to give it credit again. That would be Enter the Gungeon. Basically, with the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons expansion that came out this year, it kind of got me back into this game and got me to put in... I think I played it more this year than I did last year, and I actually just started playing it again after like a pretty yeah, maybe a couple month break.
It's on the sale, but, right? For like $750.
Yeah, I think it's $750.
I really don't have any interest in playing it right now, but that's the cheapest I've seen it ever. Is it worth? I know you push it all the time, but should I just grab it and then just throw it?
Yeah.
In the all right.
I'd have paid double. I mean, technically, I did pay double because I bought it on Switch as well as PS4.
So I just have no interest in a rogue. Well, you bought it twice, and although we have our differences in what games we like, this is something that I think is up my. You paid it, played it too, didn't you, Ben?
Yes. I played.
Wait, did you buy it? I thought you played it when you were at his house or when you brought your PS4.
Oh, I bought it when it went on sale.
Oh, okay. And you give the thumbs up as well?
Oh, yeah. I've never beaten it because it makes me mad.
Super fucking hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very hard. I'm not a big bullet hell kind of guy when it comes to gaming. But it was very fun. Challenging, for sure.
Yeah.
And the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons actually makes the game somewhat easier with some balance tweaks, and they dropped in, like, a million more weapons. So
and that's free, right? That's just an update?
Yeah, that's just a free update to the game. It's like a free expansion. But yeah, they rebalanced the game in better ways. Like, they gave you better guns earlier, they give you ammo way more, so you don't have to be at, you can be a little more liberal with weapon usage, so you're not running out of ammo.
Am I at a disadvantage, having never played it, and now there's all this brand new shit in there?
Not at all. If anything, you're at an advantage because it's going to be like you're going to.
I just don't know what's good and bad. I guess I'll learn it just like I did Isaac.
It's kind of like Isaac. You learn, but unlike Isaac, there's really nothing that's bad. It's all at worst, it's okay. There's nothing that like will make your experience worse. Like Isaac, where there you can pick up.
You were punished for taking certain things. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's synergies and stuff, though, right? Just like
That was another thing they added. That was with the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. That's huge. That's another big game changer. Like some of the like synergies, like some crazy stuff. Have you? I won't.
Maybe I'll look up the Gungeon Wiki and just kind of look at some of that stuff. But yeah, I think I'll probably pick it up at this point, just because I know you guys have talked about it forever, and it is. I'm sure it's fun. I just don't have any interest in. I have my plate full right now, but. Yeah, for that cheap.
I mean, that's fine, and it's one of those games where, like, you can pick it up, and, like, I'll pick it up, play it for a couple weeks, put it down for a couple months.
Yeah.
And then pick it up, play it for a month, put it down for 2 months. Like, it's just one
of those
games.
Do you have to relearn it, though, like Isaac? Because with Isaac, it was like I really hated myself when I had to go back. It's one of the reasons it happened.
When I took my first break, I was already 40-plus hours in, so I kind of knew what that game was going to throw at me. So it was just like, okay, play for a couple minutes. All right, okay. I know the controls pretty much by heart. I know what the enemies are going to do for the most part. So maybe your first time in, you definitely want to put some time into it before you would step away.
Well, yeah.
But I picked it up last week for the first time in months, and it's just like riding a bike. Like 10 minutes in, I'm like, all right, I know what's going on. I remember the weapons that I really want to go after, ones I kind of want to skip past, you know. You pick up on it. It's way easier to pick up and put down than Isaac was.
What's the progression system? Permanent unlocks? Or characters?
Yes. There are characters. You have four characters at the start. There are other ones you can unlock through the game. The permanent unlocks are basically you adding more weapons to the
pool. Okay, that's what I said.
None of, like, start with more health, start with more money type. None of that stuff's in the game.
And there's no levels, I assume. It's just all adding stuff to the pool and unlocks, right?
It's always same five worlds every time. Like, that's
are there variations of each level?
They're randomly generated levels. But as you play the same five worlds in the same order every time, that's not random. It's like Isaac in that sense, where you always play through the same ones in the same order. But, Gungeon, they'll keep playing that game for a long, long time. One that I just snuck in, that I'd say barely missed the cut last year was Tekken 7, which I played, like, right at the start of this year. And, I mean, it's been well known. My documented history with fighting games is not great. And my love of those games is also not great, but Tekken 7 is really good. The story is total batshit, bonkers, insane, and is really entertaining. The treasure battle system is great for people like me who have no interest in ever playing online, but just don't but kind of want some sort of carrot to go after, not just playing the AI and just one-on-one battles. It's a really cool thing to kind of keep you interested for a while. Tutorial, not the best. That game doesn't really onboard you with Tekken at all. It's just kind of like a, hey, you can play against an AI that doesn't move, and here's a move list. It doesn't really teach you how to play Tekken. This game assumes you've played Tekken before. It does not do any help to you for a first-time player. So that was a little unfortunate, as for someone who hadn't played Tekken, gosh, I think 3 or tag tournament for PS2 was the last one I played. So it was a 10-plus year gap between Tekkens for me. So it was definitely a learning curve, but I really enjoyed the game. I mean, again, another one that's on sale for very cheap, you know, under probably like $20. And I think that story alone, and obviously, you know, if you're a fan of fighting games, Tekken is always one to keep on your short list. Which brings me to old game of the year. And with how this game released, technically qualifies as an old game, and that would be Hollow Knight. It debuted on PC last year and then made its console debut this year, so this year was the first time I was able to play it. But had I played it last year, I mean, I was following this game since the beginning and seeing, you know, what type of game it was, the art style, what I've heard about it, watching people play it, I was like, I was sold instantly. Once I knew this was coming to some sort of console, I'm like, okay, this is a day one buy, you know, not guaranteed. And came out on Switch back in, I think, June, July, sometime in the summer, and dove right in. Absolutely loved the game. Like I said, the art style is fantastic. The music, the sound, all wonderful. Gameplay, spot on. I definitely won't be the first person to say this, but the map system in that game is, I don't want to say bad, it's flawed. It doesn't feel great. You can see what they were going for with that game, with how the map system works and exploration, but I feel like there could have been a better way to do it, and it doesn't really ruin the experience of the game. It's just kind of like a,
you makes look it at it hard and you when go, you want to backtrack.
It makes it unnecessarily difficult. Like, it's just an extra hurdle that you have to get over. It's just like, ugh.
The problem is the map isn't segmented. Well, areas aren't segmented. So you'll have like a long hallway that you screen transition in multiple times, and it's not segmented. So you go in there the first time, that entire hallway is now map. Yeah, that entire hallway is now considered like explored, but it's not.
Right.
So
it's like this weird hand-drawn kind of map.
Yeah.
A little bit abstract.
I didn't mind the style. I just thought that not having it segmented so that you understood where you went. Like, fucking Castlevania games, especially Symphony of the Night, or specifically Symphony of the Night, has it down to one by one grid pieces.
Yeah, it's
like
the grid system is like the accepted, like, this is how
it, yeah, I don't need it to be that specific, but if you're asking me to go find an item, it was definitely, like, I ran into a situation in that game of, like, I searched for, like, a half hour, 45 minutes for something, and it was right under my nose because of the way that map is portrayed, I guess. So I would agree with you on that sense.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'd say, the only flaw I would point out about that game. The difficulty does do a little ping-ponging, especially when it comes to bosses. It's a little bit all over the place. Definitely later spikes in the game, and then, like, I kind of, it was weird. Like, the last three bosses of the game, like, the third to last
boss. The main three?
Not even the main three. I don't even think this was necessarily the order I fought them in. But it wasn't even, I think it was the final main boss, and then a side boss, and then the final boss. So, like, the final main boss was moderately challenging, but I got through it. The last side boss I did was the boss I died to the most in the entire game, by far. It was the most frustrating fight out of the entire game.
Was that a boss I fought? Which one was it?
It's right before the end of the game, so I guess no.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it away. But and then the final boss I beat on the first try.
Oh, nice.
Very little effort.
That night fight was annoying, where there was like 6 of them?
Yes, that's the one that was the most frustrating.
That was really fucking...
Yeah.
Because they don't explain it well at all. And... The first, I probably attempted that like 10 or 15 times before I really started to sink my teeth into it.
By far.
Oh, really? That's good to hear, actually.
Yeah, that, at least that's what I felt was, the hardest fight. But anyways, getting off the negative, it's a wonderful game. I mean, as far as Metroidvanias go, that was one of two very good one of those to come out this year. And I say one of three. I don't want to sell any other game short. But yeah, just when you think kind of that genre is starting to get saturated with everyone
seeming
to put out their take on it, it's nice to see breaths of fresh air. And, you know, maybe this doesn't necessarily do anything that's completely unique. It's kind of, I mean, Salt and Sanctuary did the whole Dark Souls-y Metroidvania a couple years ago, but this still feels like a great experience, and it's a great time.
We have Bloodstained coming next year too, so
yeah. I mean, yeah, it's I always get sucked into those types of games. Like you say, you know, Metroidvania, you definitely get my attention. So it's nice that there are multiple good ones still coming out, and we haven't reached that saturation point yet. At least the quality is still high up. And that
this year
really
had some really high quality ones.
This year,
out of nowhere, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, had some great ones. But
you're
also
playing
Hollow
the OG one right now too, as like
a
nice little side thing.
We'll get into next week, kind of like our holiday
games
catch up
we played
on
and stuff,
all the games
we're
playing. But I am playing Super Metroid for the first time as we
how
speak.
How far are you?
And, like
or how much have you dabbled? I should say.
4.5 hours in.
What bosses have you fought?
Two of the main three.
Have you ran into any issues yet? Like, where you were lost or where you didn't know what to do? You've probably seen that game
played so many
times, though.
Yeah, you would... Not really. I'll save all my discussion of that for next week, because I don't want to get down that rabbit hole right now. But, I've seen the, you know, playing Symphony of the Night, and now I got Metroid, so I've gotten the two kind of, you know, godfathers of the genre now, so I can see where it's coming in. Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's any sign of it slowing down, so...
I wish Konami didn't change that fucking sale or whatever. Not Konami, it was PSN, but fucking $5... who knows
Konami
who it was, but $5 when you put it on sale a couple days before that? Come on, man! It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But Hollow Knight, my old game of 2018.
Do you want to do...
All right, Ben.
Homework? Oh, that's right. Ben still has to go. Jesus.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here, Jay.
We gush so long.
And... We've been going... dude, it's already an hour, and we haven't even gotten into our top tens yet. This is why this episode's always 2.5 hours.
Split this into two parts this year.
It's true.
All right. Old game of the year. I do want to throw shout outs to a handful. I got Rise of the Tomb Raider. We mentioned that already. It was more of the first one, which is fine.
Better.
I heard the third one is more of the rest, which is fine.
You didn't think two was better than the first?
I thought it was the exact same game with a new story.
They had those new mechanics were pretty cool. The fucking hook stuff. That was nice.
Sure.
I liked the story in one better, but the world and gameplay in two.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Two was more fun to play. That's why I think it stood out to me as a better game.
Other games, Ghost Recon Wildlands. We got on this train late.
Shoot. Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot about
that.
We played that this year? What the fuck? Holy shit. That was the beginning of the year. Damn.
I support all of these.
Great game. Yeah. Hunting the Predator drove us nuts.
That was a lot of fun for the first hour or two, and then it kind of got annoying.
Realized fighting it alone was the strat.
How do you use it?
Somehow they punish you. Yes. Yeah, they punished you for fighting it as a group. Jesus.
It was a fun game. The story was solid. The combat was solid. Massive world. It was really pretty, but in true Ubisoft fashion, they released just a terrible game on day one, and then they used the next few months to fix it. So
yeah,
not
that was a nice little hidden treasure.
Not to mention, you saw that game set the framework for mechanics in other games, like the drone being basically the eagle from the new Assassin's Creed games.
The exact same controls.
Did that come out? Yeah. I guess it had to have.
Yeah, it came out before Origins did. So yeah, you saw holy those shit. Mechanics yeah. in action in those games. Like, oh, this is the drone from Wildlands.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny because when we played that beta, it was no bueno. Ooh, but when we actually played the game, I would still say that the AI in that game is really not good. Like, if you don't have a group to play with, it's way more fun with friends. If I had to play that entire game with the AI, I probably wouldn't have had nearly as much fun. Or even probably wanted to finish it. Yeah, because we did a lot of crazy, stupid shit that made half the game.
It's a fun, mindless online co-op experience.
And it was really pretty. Like,
yes,
it was prettier than Far Cry 5 was. And
yeah,
it was an older game.
They're about really? The same. Yeah. Mm. I didn't think there was a big difference between the two, but
I don't know. I thought that world was really well designed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. I thought they did a really good job with it. Far Cry 5 reminded me a lot of Wildlands. Could be why I enjoyed it so much, but. Next one is Sleeping Dogs, a very, very old game. Snatched up on a Christmas sale in 2017, finished up in 2018. Very well-rounded game. Combat was fun, story was great, the world was fun. They just did a really good job with that game, and it's just a shame what happened to that studio. So, hoping someone can scoop up this license and do something with it. Fortnite, of course. Fortnite just absolutely wrecked my 2018 in terms of gaming. It was an addictive mess of nonsense. We played way too much of that game. It had an ever-changing map every week. You had the skins. It was free to play. It really took over. It just took over. But my number one game that was not in 2018 was Yakuza 0. This game was just an insane experience. I love this game so much. I'm glad I jumped on Jake's hype and got into this and played it and finished it up. Characters' voice acting were top notch. Just everything about this game was a blast. I burned through the story because if I tried to do everything, I would have put in almost 200 hours into this game without even batting an eye. There's just so much stuff to do, and it's fun, it's wacky, it's zany, it's just so ridiculous, but it's just so fun. I put 40 hours into just cabaret club and real estate. And while that sounds like a ton of time, it doesn't feel like a ton of time, because I was actually having fun doing all of that, because within that are side stories. Again, it's nonstop.
Yeah, side stories have side stories. And to your point, something I really appreciate about that game is their ability to switch between serious and goofy and still remain, like, you're never, like, thrown off and being like, oh, this game's stupid now. Like, it just does it so seamlessly.
I could be walking down the street avoiding Yakuza who are hunting me down and then run into Mr. Libido. So this game has it for everyone. Because Mr. Libido is one of the greatest side characters I've ever run into. Google that guy.
He's a dude.
Not at work.
Are you are you going to be venturing into the rest of the series?
So, Kiwami was free on PSN 2 months ago, I believe. And that's already installed and ready to go. It stares at me every time I sign into my PS4. Moments before we started recording, I did purchase Kiwami 2 from my local video game retailer. Because of gift certificates and discounts. So I got that for under $20. I could not pass that up.
So
I will definitely be ripping through these games in 2019.
You and I were very spoiled because we played Zero as our first experience into the series, because it's by far the best game. So I will be very interested to hear your thoughts as you progress through the other games, considering they started like 10 years ago. Because they're very...
As long as the story...
Oh,
as long as the story and storytelling are decent, I'll be fine.
Top notch.
I'm enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the best things about that series is how good the stories are.
But yeah, that's it for me. Yakuza 0. Game of the Year 2017.
It was my Game of the Year 2017. I'm 100% with you. Do you want to do homework now, Mike? Or do you want to
get into homework before
this
we
is
hit,
new.
The, hit the final 10. Yes, this is going to be something we're going to take a shot at this year where each of us are going to assign the other two people one game to play for 2019. So you got the whole year to play it. So
we'll each have two games.
Each of us, yes, we'll have two games to play. I think we've all talked about, you know, big games we've played or games that, you know, I should get around to playing this or just stuff that's like, you know, big gaps in our, you know, gaming, you know, history. So let's just get right into this.
Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Ben.
All right.
I feel that I'll defer to you to go first because
I think we both have one game in mind.
So we'll see.
Well, I picked something. I have an idea of what you want him to play. So I'm gonna give him something that you and I love, Mike. And I think he probably would have gotten around to this, but it's not your style of game. But I want you to play Celeste, Ben.
Ah, you picked my backup game too. Perfect.
Good. I know these aren't your style of game because of the difficulty, but you can turn off difficulty literally if you want. And I just
Best
want you to
assist mode as far as difficulty like true assist mode, but as far as difficulty, best
for difficulty.
Mode
yeah,
in a game.
You bounce off the gaps and you just there's no death. If you want it to be that way. But for the story, for the soundtrack, which I know you love anyway, so that'll carry you through. Yeah, that'll carry you through the experience. And the characters and just the everything that they go through, and people assume that it's just a nice little puzzle game. It, at its core, the story that it tells is very important and very much worth your time. So that is going to be my game for you to play in 2019.
I think I can do that.
Okay.
Mike, what's your game to give to him?
A little tougher. Not a difficulty, but in length. This is one we have chastised you for a long time on you claiming to start many times, but have never finished. And that would be Chrono Trigger. For the Super Nintendo, yes. Yes, I know you have started this so many times and all sorts of calamities and excuses have come up as to why you've never actually finished it. But, yeah, you being a Super RPG fan need to play one of, like, the top, I don't know, 3 or 5 best RPGs of all time. So, yeah.
Fine.
How do you feel about your two games, Ben? You were going to play Celeste anyway, weren't you?
Yes, just been waiting for it to pop on sale again, and I was going to snatch it up.
I'm surprised it's not on this holiday sale, honestly. I think it was on that.
When you get nominated,
I think it was on the Game Awards
sale. Games.
Well, it was on the Game Awards sale, so I would have said that's when you would have grabbed it. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah,
I can do that. It's that's not too bad.
I hope Chrono Trigger is a good experience for you. I know you've stopped it for different reasons along the way. I haven't played it in probably 2 years, 2 or 3 years. I mean, it still holds up every time, but...
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
I hope you enjoy it. It's definitely the classic SNES RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it looks interesting, and the fact that I can tune the difficulty makes it a lot more appealing, that's for sure.
That's Celeste. Can't tune difficulty in Chrono Trigger.
Oh yeah, we're talking about Chrono Trigger now.
Oh, that, yeah, that's going to just be a long process.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets me about that one. I was hoping one of you would give me Final Fantasy 3 or 6.
Would you? Well, I was going to say, would you have rather played Final Fantasy 3 over Chrono Trigger? Because that was the other one we've talked about for a long time.
That's the one I'll
get. Right, that was the next year. that was the other one we've talked about for a long time. So
yeah.
That's definitely more difficult. I'll say that.
And I think Chrono Trigger is the shorter of the two.
Oh my god,
really?
Even Chrono
Trigger,
if you 100% Chrono Trigger, it'll take you
like
40, 50. Yeah, and
to see everything that game has to offer, because there's a bunch of stuff you can do in that game, though. I mean, there's a decent amount of side content, but it's not that. There's not that much compared to Final Fantasy VI. Like, compared to Final Fantasy VI.
No, well, VI has a lot of grinding required because if you want to do everything.
Party. I mean,
because
there's what? Like, a dozen playable characters? And
that's
six,
the
and
only
what, like,
thing.
Maybe six?
Five
characters?
Or. Yeah,
five or
I think.
Six?
No, it's.
Yeah.
It's your main three,
like,
and then
twice as many
three other. Yeah, there's six, I think.
In Final Fantasy VI.
And what sucks about six is that you have to keep everybody leveled because they make you use everybody.
Not to mention, I mean, yeah, I get it. There's a whole recruitment process in the second half of the game, so yeah.
That game is a grind fest towards the end, unfortunately. It doesn't make it a bad game.
Please don't make me play that one, then.
That's next year. That'll be 2020.
It's good, though.
It's great.
It's
it has one of the
is
best.
Is it grind fest like Persona 5 got?
No, you're just gonna no. I say grind. I just mean do enough battles to make sure you're leveled. That's all. It's like trade in and out your party every night. Don't just stick with four characters. I meant it more as as a grind fest. Not
you have to keep your team balanced.
I don't know if I can do that anymore.
I know it's tough. I understand. I'm in the same position with certain games. It's not that bad, but it is required in that game.
The game kind of does it for you for a good amount of time. It's just the second half of the game, you're kind of...
You'll have parts where characters disappear and stuff.
Basically, I'm not going to get too spoiler. Basically, like, in the second half of the game, the party blows up, and it's up to you to kind of, like, bring everyone back in.
Okay.
And you don't have to bring everyone back in. That's the thing. You don't have to go out and get everybody. So if you have, like, your core five people you want to roll with, like, you could go along with them, and then you say fuck it to everyone else for the most part.
There is a part towards the end. I'm not going to say what location it is.
Six people for that, right?
You do.
I think you only need six.
I think you. Yeah, but there's three parties that you have to manage at that point.
True, but I'm saying, like, out of the 12.
If one of those parties is super underleveled, can you beat that part?
That's why I'm saying, like, if you have six characters that are all within the same level.
Right, okay, that's fair.
You don't need to have all 13 characters.
Yeah. No, that's true.
All need
that's
to
true.
Be.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
So.
Just trade in and out between your favorite 6 to 8, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. You'll find five.
There'll be parts where you don't have access to certain characters anyway. So, yeah, the game does
Chrono
it for you.
Or Final Fantasy?
No, this is Final Fantasy VI. We're talking about a completely different game.
We'll have this conversation in a year from now.
Chrono Trigger,
we're a long way from it.
There's nothing you need to be prepared for Chrono Trigger other than...
It's pretty straightforward.
The only thing you need to think about with Chrono Trigger is thinking outside the box. Well, this isn't a spoiler for you because you know about it. Think of the different timelines. Like, that's kind of the important thing for Chrono Trigger is, like, if I need to do something in this timeline, how do I affect it in another timeline?
Oh, I played Link to the Past. I understand all that.
I love that ship. It's so cool. I forget what it's called. The Epoch or whatever they're called?
Epic. Epoch.
Epoch.
I think you'll have fun with it, Ben. And I think I know you'll enjoy Celeste.
Chrono Trigger and Celeste.
Yeah, great.
You can report back as you go. You want to be next, Mike?
Sure. Let me have it.
All right. Well, I think mine's obvious, and again, you've tried, and I don't think you stopped for lack of liking. I think you stopped for other shit on your plate, but that's Yakuza 0. I am pushing you into this series as well.
That was my number one to give to Mike. So I got backups. I've got backups.
And again, I don't think this was for lack of enjoyment, right? You said other stuff.
There's a lot of different.
Also, you didn't expect this game to be what it was. Yeah. I remember you telling me that.
I was not ready for the story. You were not. Gameplay balance to be completely opposite of what I was expecting it to be. So, yeah, I am all in.
Just think of it like Metal Gear Solid. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why, like I said, I'm probably going to start over because I have lots of.
No, you have to start over. Don't load up an old save. You were in like chapter 8 or 9.
No, you can rewatch everything. They do have.
Yeah, but he didn't do all the side missions that he could have done.
Those are not important.
Yeah, see where you're at. I guess you could always go back and you couldn't miss anything. If you remember enough, you can start where you were. I would suggest starting over. But
if you weren't that far in, I'd start over. But
he was in chapter 8 or 9, I think.
I was like, I'm over halfway. Halfway.
Shit. Don't start over. Are you kidding me?
Well, it depends. Yeah. When you load up that save, check how much time you put in. I think that's the key. If you have like less than 20 hours, start over.
Finish that
if you have more,
one way or another.
Yeah.
Whether it's playing it from scratch or picking up where I left off.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my game to give you.
Okay, that's the one I was kind of expecting. So.
All right. So since Jake gave you a really long one, I'll give you a somewhat shorter one. I'm gonna give you River City Ransom.
Ooh. I like that. I accept. Very much so.
Next year I'll
glad somebody else is going to play this goddamn game, because
I'll get you next year.
I'll put that on the old SNES Classic.
Fair enough.
I figure this is... You're set up to do this one pretty easily, and it doesn't cost you a dime.
I got ahead of you both by playing Super Metroid, so I figured that would have probably been one of your games. I already started playing it, but yeah.
Yeah, Yakuza 0 was my number one for you, and then I was thinking, well, if Jake picks that, I better have a backup for him.
Okay.
I have zero idea what to expect from this, because you know what I have played, so I'm very curious.
Oh,
so
you
lay it on me.
Totally know what
this
one
is gonna
of these
be bad.
Are. Because we have chastised you for it many times.
Oh, God damn it.
Resident Evil 4.
I should have bought this a long time ago. All right. That's fine.
Someone who has played nearly the entire franchise.
I'm all about it.
But
I have played the whole
four.
Franchise. No, I'm all about it.
Somehow
I'm
you
all
skipped
about
we
it.
We never understood that.
No, I didn't. I didn't skip 4. When it came out, I didn't. Like, for a while, I didn't own a console. When the 360 first came out...
And it was
out,
GameCube exclusive.
It was PS2.
But it came to PS2 eventually.
It was PS2. Oh, I didn't know
it.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was GameCube exclusive, so I think for like a year. And then
yeah.
PS2.
Okay.
So yeah, that's... Yeah.
We all right. I'm all about this. This was something that I wanted to play anyway. I just needed that little push. So... Good.
All right. I got one... Mine for you. I'm giving you Watch Dogs 2.
Alright. Don't scoff.
I'm not scoffing. This is actually a game that I didn't have any interest in playing, but you guys have talked about it for a long time. And
I don't know, since the month it came out.
Here's the thing.
Bought
the first
it, played
one
it, beat
out.
It, enjoyed
the
it.
The first one was good. But
to forget everything you know about that person.
Really?
And just put
except
it
that there was a guy named Aiden Pierce. That's
the only thing you need
is
to remember.
Is the second
Aiden
game...
Pierce was a guy, and that's all you need to know
and
about
he,
one.
I know
he
it's
some
I know the answer is that the second game is better. Is the second game that much different?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does it play differently?
Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, it's a
there's some aspects to it that are familiar, but this one, I think, I don't know, it plays it a little...
Is the story better?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. The story
is the hacking,
hilarious.
Is the hacking more refined, at least?
Yes.
Yes.
It's right. This is a tight, they
the
tightened
game.
It up a lot
more. Let me
write
these down.
Yeah.
Oh, we won't let you forget,
don't worry. Yeah. Watch Dogs 2. All right, well, the good news about that is both of them will be pretty cheap. So
yeah, that's what I say. I think for all of us, yeah, like Watch Dogs 2 is always like under $20 at some point. And
if I had Yakuza 0 physically, I would have just sent it to you.
That's fine. I mean, it's a PlayStation hit, so it's $20.
Yeah, it's under $20.
We're all
I might
all
still have my 0. I can't remember.
You should
have
never gotten rid of that. How dare you if you did?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to keep that around here if I can get money for it. It just lets me buy other games.
We're all in a good spot good here. Yeah, no brand new $60 title. But yeah, we'll.
This will be fun. Everybody got some good games.
Yeah, I want you to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey Ultimate Edition. You have to buy the $120 version.
Yeah,
$500, whatever
to,
the hell that is.
100% it. Got to get a platinum in it.
If you hadn't played anything Persona related, Ben, when we first talked about this in the beginning of the year, that would have been my game for you.
Persona 5, yeah.
Sure. No, I would have made him play 4.
Oh,
if they do a PS4 remaster, I'll pick that up without even telling me.
No, he could emulate 4. You could emulate Vita. Well, yeah, you probably wouldn't want to. He's got a Vita.
No, he's got PSP.
Oh, okay. All right. I think at some point, though, Ben, if they remaster it or you find a way, I would play... Persona 4. Yeah. I think you...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm waiting on.
I thought it was a better game than 5, honestly, as much as I love 5.
I enjoyed what they did in 5. That was a lot of fun. Outside of the last two dungeons.
Yeah, that was going to be my other game for you, Mike, by the way. Instead of 0, would have been P5, but I wasn't going to push that on you. I'm not going to play 100. I'm not going to.
We're
going
to give you 200 plus hours of gaming.
I was almost expecting Ben to give me Final Fantasy Tactics. I'm going to be like,
You never played
Tactics.
That'll be next year.
I played a handful of hours. That's almost like my Chrono Trigger. I think I've started that game like 3 different times.
It's really hard.
But now you have me to guide you with all your questions.
Even with a guide, though, that game, you get yourself into situations.
It just takes a little grinding and knowing when to grind and to level up.
Yeah, yeah.
But grinding is really easy and mindless in that game. You don't even have to look at the screen and do it.
No, you just keep pushing attack. I think this will be fun.
Andy and I grind in between deaths and blackout. It's really easy.
That's like your handheld game in between Call of Duty. But yes, all the homework has been assigned. We will report back throughout the year when we get around to playing these games.
And now, an hour and 20 minutes later...
You have one here, and here we go. The top 10 games of 2018. How this works, we each go around the table, each giving our number 10, number 9, so on and so forth, until we get all the way down to number 1. And, yeah, other than that, it's pretty straightforward.
I think I'm going to have some very low that might... upset.
Yeah, I mean, this was an interesting year because, like, I looked at my list, and as far as 2018 releases, I believe the count was I played 12 or 13 games that actually came out this year. So
this was a tough
10,
year.
I could make 10, but it was more of like I don't feel that strongly about some of these to make the top 10 list.
It's not like last year where we had 10 legitimate top 10 games.
All right.
Multiple games could have been number 1 last year. This year it's more of like, we gotta pick 10, alright, we'll pick 10. But we're not as passionate about all of these games.
So, and I will get my one glaring omission out of the way right now. Hitman 2 is an honorable mention strictly for the amount of time I put into that game. I know what that game probably will be. I mean, I'm sure it would probably at least be obviously on my list, if not, you know, top 5 game for how...
Also, we're nowhere, neither of us are anywhere near done.
I mean, I played one of the 5 stages. Like, I'm not expecting that game to be bad. It's just I like putting games on my list that I've actually played and seen through and, you know, can talk in depth about, whereas Hitman 2 is like, I know that game's going to be great, but yeah. So, Hitman 2 will be my one honorable mention for this. So, we'll start with number 10, and that would be the most recent game I have played on this list. That'd be The Messenger. This was right now is a PC and Switch exclusive.
I'm actually surprised it's that low too.
Oh, I meant to start that this week. Damn it.
Yes.
What?
I forgot I got it for free from...
Yeah, for anyone who has Twitch Prime. The free Devolver pack this month includes a copy of The Messenger for PC.
Holy shit, and, really?
Unless your PC is about 10 years old, you should be able to run this game.
Oh my god, that's awesome!
Yeah, yeah, so you can all play The Messenger.
The soundtrack is amazing.
Yes, for what it is, it's basically like, you know how Shovel Knight was a love letter to kind of the old Mario and Castlevania games from the NES era. This is a love letter to Ninja Gaiden. You play as a ninja. It has like almost it has refined controls, a little modernized. Like the jumping isn't as kind of rigid. It's got a little more like when you're in the air, you can actually move. It's not the whole you jump and you go in that direction until you land. It's not nearly as difficult across the board. It is a way easier game than Ninja Gaiden, and I feel that that did not deter from the experience because, fuck, those Ninja Gaiden games were really fucking hard. So I don't know.
If they were really punishing
for. Yeah.
Is this game still slightly difficult, though?
Yeah, it has its difficulty. Almost none of it is in the platforming. I would say the only difficulty is in the boss fights. And even then,
that's where it should be.
I think the one boss I fought the most was less than five times, maybe. Five or six times. So at no point in this game I felt like I was hitting a wall and was getting really frustrated with it. So that part of the game was fine. Gameplay was fine. Yeah, we've already said soundtrack, good. It's what it does in the second half of the game where it kind of just doesn't tell you what to do. Basically what the game does is, in the second half, you have to go find all these quest items in order to beat the game. How it does that, it gives you a riddle. That's it. And the riddles are very vague, and it makes me feel like, had I known this map inside now, because it talks vaguely about locations and things like that, and for a game you've only been playing for a couple hours, you're not familiar enough with that world to be like, oh, the place with the sunset in the cooking pot. I know exactly where that is. So it leaves you to basically either run around the map endlessly until you fall into what it is, or what I did was I just ended up looking up what the answers were because the riddles do, or you can pay for hints in the game, but the currency at that point, the hints are too expensive. And the currency is way better spent on your upgrades, so I wasn't about to waste currency.
Is it stuff like riddles where you had to like be mindful of the background and say, oh, I guess, it says like, to look out for two towers in the background.
Right.
There's like two
maybe
distant towers.
Maybe if I
towers.
Knew that going into the game, I'd have been more mindful of things like that, but I was not paying attention to those.
That sounds really cool, actually.
I mean,
that's the
cool
kind
thing.
Of obscurity that La Mulana has.
I mean, it actually reminded me of La Mulana for knowing what that game is. It definitely had that. It was a turnoff for me. It didn't ruin the experience.
That makes
like,
me even more interested.
It maybe
it's your number 10.
Couple...
It sounds like it did.
Right. I'm saying, I mean, this wasn't going to be a number 1. Like, maybe this was a 7, and that maybe...
But you also haven't finished it.
No,
it
looks better
too.
Than downloading.
No,
me.
I finished it.
Oh, okay.
I've completed the game. Yeah, I completed
it. How many
it.
Hours like, it did it take you?
10 to 12? Like, it's not a very long
game.
No,
that's not
wow.
bad.
No, that's still a good amount for that kind of game,
yeah,
though.
It doesn't overstay its welcome. Like, it's a tight 10 to 12 hours. Like, it's... Like, you do a bit of backtracking, as you do with these types of games, but it's really cool. It's a really fun game. I feel like with a sequel, I think it could really hit it out of the park, especially with some of the kind of, like, those riddle elements. I think some of the fast travel as well could be a little bit better designed.
Oh, you can backtrack? Great. Wow, okay.
Yeah, I'd say I don't want to get too much into spoilers.
Okay, yeah.
The game takes some twists and turns that you don't expect that really are really cool, really unique stuff.
Can I ask a question about it?
Do again, by all means.
The sound, I've been listening to the soundtrack nonstop. It does this thing where the first part is in 8-bit and the second part is in 16-bit. Does it do the same thing with the graphics?
That ties into the story.
Awesome. I'm so excited then, because everything that I've been listening to, the fact that it changes that style, I was like, the gameplay has got to be the same way then. Gameplay and style, I would assume, mm-hmm. are the same way. That's so cool.
Yeah, like just because it's number 10, like I'm not this is definitely one of the 10 best games of the year. Just because I put it at the 10th spot, don't and what I put after this doesn't not detract from that game at all. It was a very
sounds like a terrible game
by surprise. yeah, and the fact that you know if you have Twitch Prime, you have it right now. You should.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely,
I'm all about
absolutely
that.
Absolutely worth playing.
Holy shit! Yeah,
number 10, The Messenger.
Nice. All right, I am in the same boat with Mike for Hitman. I know what it is. It's not going to make my top 10 because I know what it is. Great game, but there's other stuff that I've played this year that isn't kind of, you know, the same thing. A couple other things I'll throw out there. Far Cry 5 did not make my top 10.
Play that in games. Don't even try that.
Well, you'll find out all my top 10 because I absolutely did. Good game. I don't know. It didn't make my top 5. And Thronebreaker would have, or top 10, if I had finished it. And it was my goal to finish it by this point, but I just haven't had the time. I'm about, there's 5 areas or 5 maps or whatever, and I'm on 4, so I'm close. But I really didn't want to take it, and I didn't want to put a game that I hadn't finished on my list. The thing is that, like, I know it's not going to take a crazy turn. It got amazing reviews. I know it'll be fine, but just in case. You know where I learned this, Ben? When you put fucking Last Jedi as your number one movie of the year last year.
What a mistake that was.
Yeah.
I was hoping no one would have brought that up.
When I was about to put Thronebreaker on my list, I was like, no, I'm not making the Last Jedi mistake. So
that's why I kept saying, you never know. It could turn out to be a big piece of shit at the end
right.
of the thing. And, yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly
I know
what I was
it's
referring
not.
To.
It's just like the
yeah.
end of Fanboys.
Yeah. Oh, man. That movie had such potential.
What if this movie sucks?
And then my final one on this list is Dark Souls Remastered. It wasn't a new game, but it was a remaster, I guess, so it was kind of a new game.
That is very true. It was a remaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was not a remake, which is something very different.
Unfortunately, no quality of life improvements as well, which was unfortunate.
Well, it was quality of life improvements. The best way I heard it put is this was the version you should have on console, but if you have PC, there's no reason to rebuy it because it was all the fixes that... But for console, it was kind of worth it, just not $40 worth it.
Yeah.
All right. I will get into my number 10. And my 10 is MLB 18, The Show.
18
this game.
Look at that.
18.
They don't do the Madden thing. They do the current. They do the current year.
Yeah. Comes out the same year. It comes out the same year, like a month before the season starts.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
February or something.
Because reason they do that is it's the championship, like when the championship happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they name it the year.
Right. No, that makes sense.
I'm stupid.
That's why the Super Bowl is so weird every year because it's technically the year after the year that the season took place.
Just MLB is the only season that starts and ends in the same
year.
Within a calendar year. Yeah. This game took me completely by surprise. It had been a while since I played a baseball game, so I wanted to play. I had a hankering for a baseball game. I'd always heard that The Show was a really good, solid series, and the last one I really played was. Was it MVP baseball? Is that what they were called?
That was EA's.
So that's how long ago I had been playing fucking baseball games. I think I played like a 2K game in like 2010 or 2011. But I was never into Ultimate Team stuff, but The Show does it in a unique way that really made me love it. It has this mode called Conquest, which is, it's essentially Risk. And the way you gain more units is by playing games against other teams. And then you conquer their home base, and you take over their units, and you spread, and you spread, and you spread. And I was streaming it that one time, so you saw it, Mike, of what it looks like for when you eventually start to play it. And, yeah, it's just, they have challenges. There's so many challenges in that game, revolving around putting up certain statistics with a player, then unlocking the next card, be it the rookie card, going to the amateur card, to there's postseason cards of, like, if a player did something, like, I have a David Price card of, like, the way to complete his challenge is put up the numbers that he put up in the ALCS game. And it's very cool. It's very well done. And playing the market in that game is a blast. And I was never a huge, like, I was never into auction houses a ton or playing, like, markets and games and stuff like that. Again, I was never into Ultimate Team, really. But you don't lose cards as you play in this game, unlike certain Ultimate Teams where they had, like, I remember playing one in Madden where they had, like, a time on it where, like, if you play it, you lose it or something. I don't know if that's still the same.
Yeah, they had contracts way. And, yeah.
Yeah, contracts and stuff. Yeah, it's just weird. So, so with this, you acquire the player and you acquire it. I also found it really cool that the stats you put up are the stats that go with that player. So, like, from the get-go, you play from day one all the way through when 19 comes out. All of the stats, all of your at-bats, everything is on that player card, specifically related to you. I wonder how it works when you sell it. I assume it just resets it back to zero. But, yeah, it's a fantastic game. I'm looking forward to when you eventually start playing it, Mike, because I think playing online will be a lot of fun. Also, it'll make me better because playing online in that game is really hard, especially where I jumped in like, November or something, because people already have, like, 99 teams and stuff like that. So I'm seriously debating buying MLB 19. I guess this might be a sports game for me for a little while. I know, Ben, you do Madden every year. I'm very, very tempted to grab this, and I should probably do it sooner than later because you get a free Bryce Harper card if you pre-order. So I may do that. Oh, Mike,
nice!
Also,
is he going to be wearing a free agent jersey?
I was going to say I don't know. Well, it's right now it's a Nationals card, but I was also going to say, Mike, if you want some really good free cards, log in before I don't know when the date is. I could look it up for you, but you get a couple really good free things for the holiday. So just for if you have that set for when you eventually start playing. But yeah, that's my number 10. What about you, Ben?
Well, my number 10 is pretty easy. It is Fallout Shelter, because this game came out in 2018 and I played it. I did platinum it. I guess that's something, right? I don't know.
I assume this is how the bottom of your list is going to go.
Yeah, fuck Fortnite. It really ruined 2018 for me in terms of playing new games, because we were constantly playing Fortnite. So I just
for the first 6 months,
pretty much from February until October, it was Fortnite.
You played Monster Hunter.
That was
probably the only game. Yeah, I was going to say that's probably like the only game before Fortnite that you played.
We really hopped on the Fortnite bandwagon when we were like the Monster Hunter died down. So
jump back into it.
We had that small window of about 90 days. Well, not even that.
We weren't playing it. Yeah.
Probably 45 days of 2018, at the start of 2018, where Fortnite wasn't really a thing to us. I got a lot done in that time. Oddly enough, Fallout Shelter wasn't one of those things. That happened actually in the spring, summer. But it was just easy to log into, click a few buttons for 15, 20 minutes, and then log out and be done with it. It's a clicking game to try and get you to buy shit. I never bought anything off of it, so that's pretty cool. And
you
I was
put
able
a
to,
lot of hours into it, though.
What was it, about 90 hours, 80? I think, was the...
Yeah.
It was a lot of hours.
Yeah, it was.
Ended up being a ton of hours over a long time, because I don't think I finished it until, I don't know, September, October is when I...
And you started it on the day of E3 when they announced it. You played it for 5 months?
Yeah. So
I mean, that's how those games are designed to be. You can't beat them in a short amount of time. That's just how they work.
Yeah, if you have patience enough to outlast a game 5 to 6 months, you can 100% it. And I mean, it wasn't like I beat the game. There's nothing to beat. It's just the same shit over and over again. You're just leveling.
You were going for trophies. Characters. That was your.
I was trophy. That was my trophy hunting game.
Well, I mean, I think that for a game like that, that is the goal. Is like, if you're going to have some sort, you make your own goal. And if you're going to make a goal for something like that, it'll be to platinum it.
Yeah, because those games never truly like end. They just kind of go on infinitely by design.
Oh yeah, they're designed to get you to keep playing. Which oddly enough, they put trophies on it, so there's always an end to it for trophy hunters. They want to keep people playing, so they buy ridiculous things they don't need. Like, there's the dumbest shit. So now that I'm talking about this out loud, Fallout Shelter came out, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? It's been out a while, I know, on mobile.
Yeah.
And here we are, that we just get it on console. A few months later, we got Fallout 76. Fallout 76 is kind of selling the same shit, like with your Adam points.
Yeah.
I think they made too much money off of Fallout Shelter. And they thought that they could do this in 76. And now the fans are paying for it. In a bad way.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
But yeah, number 10, Fallout Shelter. We talked way too much about Fallout Shelter. I'm sorry, guys.
That's fine. That's fine.
Number
nine.
Should I go, or do we want to go?
No, I mean, I figure we just keep going in a circle. And
whatever gets me out of the way until we get to, like, number five.
That's fine. This might be the game I talk the least about. My number nine is The Crew 2. I know, for how much I talked about
Messenger. This a lot.
Yeah, but the thing is, the reason why this game is number nine is because, specifically on PS4, there is a racing game problem. Now, it's not for sim racing. Obviously, there's Gran Turismo. It's more of the casual racing game, and while Xbox has Forza Horizon, there is no equivalent on PlayStation 4. Nothing even comes close. Like, Need for Speed games are bad. Drive Club is... It, like, dresses itself up as something like that, but it's still, at its heart, it's still a sim game. So there's not really anything to fill that hole. Like, Burnout Paradise is full-blown arcade, like, balls-to-the-wall arcade. So there really isn't anything there to fill that void of the, I want to race real cars on roads, not, you know, nothing too crazy over the top. And The Crew gets there for the most part. I would say it's good enough for PS4. Like, if I was an Xbox player, I would say no, just play Forza Horizon. Like, don't even give this game the time of day. But for PS4 players, this is good enough for now. This game definitely has its issues. The economy in this game is bad. Not bad in the... Well, obviously, since you can technically buy... There's a paid currency which you can buy all the cars with. It's bad in that sense, but it's bad with how the game tells you to do stuff. Basically, you need to own at least a dozen different types of cars.
You said it, like, locks you out of events and stuff.
Right, because you have to own a car. Like, oh, if you want to do Demolition Derby, you got to have a Demolition Derby car. You want to do air races, you got to have an air race vehicle. So you're spending a lot of your hard-earned currency on vehicles just to unlock more races, not to buy vehicles you want to race with. Like, out of the 20 cars I owned by the time I was done with that game, I think only, like, 5 or 6 of them were ones that are like, ooh, I want to race that car. I'm going to buy that car. Not, oh, I need a powerboat. Let me just buy the cheapest powerboat because I just need one.
Which is weird from a design standpoint. Like, why they didn't think of that when they're like, oh, these guys are going to be buying a bunch of vehicles. We should probably give them enough to do it. Right. You said because they increased the grind. Was that because there wasn't enough content, or because they just wanted to stretch out the game time?
Oh my goodness, no! You want to talk about? There are, I think, total race just races against the computer. There's like 130 in that game. And yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, this game is not short on content. Between that and, you know, I play this game entirely in single player, so there's a whole PvP aspect.
You never went online? Game.
I mean, it's an always online game, so technically.
No, I mean, did any of the online event stuff? I didn't know what it was, honestly.
I don't care for racing against other humans in a non-sim game, because everyone drives like an asshole, so it's like, it's not.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So, yeah, that's like, if I'm going to do online, I'm going to do Gran Turismo online. So, no, and I didn't feel shorted by the game. Like, this game probably is way more fun with friends, obviously, but I still had a good time. Like, I only paid $20 for this on Black Friday, so I got my $20 worth. I put, like, 25, 30 hours into this game. And yeah, like this gets some extra credit for PS4 not really having an answer to Forza Horizon. Otherwise, I probably may not have even played this game. But it's just a good filler for a void that PS4 has still had for all these years. And yeah, Crew 2, number 9, 2018.
All right, here's where I expect my first reactions as to why I have this so low.
Right. Oh, here we go. Here it is. Here
yes, exactly.
Let me buckle in for this one.
My number 9 is Spooderman.
The fuck is wrong with you?
Wow.
This was a fantastic game. The thing about Spider-Man is once you're away from it for a little while, it didn't leave anywhere near as much of an impact as number 8 through 1 for me did. Absolutely fantastic game. I really can't say anything negative about it, honestly. But the only negative I will say as to why it's so low is it didn't leave as much of a lasting effect as the rest of my games. Honestly, there's nothing negative I can say about it, and we've talked about it so much that there's really nothing more I want or can say. But as I get to my other games, I guess that'll reflect as to why it's so low. Again, this is a top 10, so these are all fantastic games. By no means is it a bad game, I guess, but I don't know if you guys had that same feeling.
No, I understand.
Does it resonate with you?
You got to pick 10 games. There's going to be some bad choices that you make in there. So,
yeah,
this is your one.
I am 100% confident that number 8 through 1 are all. I don't know if they're better games to like the public, but for me, they left more of an impact on me this year, and I can think back on them with more of an impact than Spider-Man did. Spider-Man's not a bad game by any means. It was really well done and really fun to play. But, like, after being away from it, I don't think about it the same way I think about, you know, other titles. I guess for you guys, it'll be much higher, and I'll be interested to see how high it is. But, yeah, for me, Spider-Man is number 9. Ben?
All right.
So mine left a huge impact on my life. Number 9 is NHL 19.
Wow.
Again, I didn't play enough 2018 games. My list is going to suck.
I'm surprised this wasn't 10 then.
For a while. Fallout Shelter was 10.
No, I know, but you had more fun with... You put 80 hours into Fallout Shelter. You had more fun with this than you did Fallout Shelter?
I probably put about the same amount of time in NHL 19 that I had Fallout.
I just remember your guys' frustration when you play this game, that's all.
The frustration I think that Mike and I have with this game is we couldn't get consistent games. So you log in at like 8 o'clock, you want to play a couple games of hockey together, and by 10:30 you've played 3-4 games. because the servers, their programming, whatever the hell's going on with this game is just absolute horseshit. And it's still an issue to this day. I don't know what's happening with this game. EA won't say anything. It's a hot mess. The game itself, though, I thought it was a step forward in the franchise. I thought it was a step forward in the mechanics. It's still a hot mess. And they've tuned the game, the gameplay, and we've kind of rolled back what was originally launched. It's almost like someone sells you, let's say you go to the store and you buy a stick of deodorant. You use the stick of deodorant 3 or 4 times, and then someone comes to your home and says, hey, we've got a better stick of deodorant for you. Let's just upgrade your stick of deodorant. We've installed razor blades in your stick of deodorant to trim you up while you're applying your deodorant. Did you ask for this? No. Does the company think you need it? Yes. But guess what? You're stuck with it because they've come in and have now put razor blades in your sticks of deodorant. Now you have to use this and cut yourself every time you try and use your deodorant. EA is terrible, is what I'm trying to say in the most retarded way possible. Pardon my use of that word. Ridiculous. It's garbage. I don't like it. Just give us what we got day one. Rumor has it we're going to. We'll see what happens. But I just want a game that I can turn on and play when I want to, because that's what I've kind of paid for. And it be the same game, or at least close to the game that I paid for on day one. It's constantly breaking. So my number 9 and my top 10 games of the year, thanks Jake, is
hey,
NHL
this, we've
19.
Been doing this for 3 years. This has always been the way we do it. I'm not... It sucks that not a lot of games came out this year, but I played way more than 10. I know you didn't. Well, I know you're scrounging for games at the top 10, but this, I'm sorry.
Jump in, Mike. Me. Tell us how you feel about NHL 19, because you've played this as well.
It was a bait and switch of video games. We were sold a bill of goods that was not delivered upon, and EA betrayed us. And me... For I say the last time, but I'm like a fucking kid with amnesia, and like next year I'll be like, oh, NHL 20, oh man, I can't wait to check that out, and I'm gonna check it out and it's gonna be terrible. So yeah, fuck EA.
Oh, and I don't total, worry about me next year. I'm not pressing you, yeah, into like, buying it. I'm not getting it.
Shit. I'm just as guilty, because God forbid we want to play a quality hockey game.
You're not guilty of anything. We both played the beta. We both thought it was this is good. This will be fun to play. We bought the game. And then here we are months later. The game's unplayable online. It's not the same game that we played in the beta. It's garbage. And I'm looking forward to the tuner rollback that's supposedly coming in January. I really want to see what the difference is. And I also want to really see if they do it. I wonder if they're going to say they do it, and then they don't really do it, and then when everyone says, oh, this is so much better, then they come back and they say, well, we didn't do anything. Joke's on you. In your face. Because I almost want to do that as a joke.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me at this point if they pulled something like that. But, fuck NHL 19. Anyways.
So yeah, my number 9 game of the year, NHL 19.
Moving right along. Number 8 for me will be Guacamelee 2. As you can tell, this is the sequel to Guacamelee. And while it does not do a whole lot in as far as advancing its mechanics. And in fact, I think it played it a little too safe when it comes to that. I feel like there was a lot more they could have done to improve on the game. It is still a very good game. Like, if you played one, no reason not to play two. I would say one thing they did improve on greatly is the writing. This game is wonderfully written. It is hilarious from start to finish. Probably easily the funniest game I played in 2018. And as far as we talked about before with Hollow Knight, about we're having like a really good year for quality Metroidvanias. This one is right along with, you know, your Hollow Knights and Dead Cells and that came out this year. So yeah, Guacamelee 2, number 8, 2018.
I kind of want to grab that one on sale.
Absolutely should.
Yeah, that I enjoyed the first one very much, so I want to keep an eye on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Good. My number 8 is Yakuza 6. By no means is this the best Yakuza game. Unfortunately, it's probably on the lower tier for me. But
one of your top games of the year.
No, it did. I'm just saying, as far as like in the scope of the series goes, it was not one of the best Yakuza stories. But as a game in general, I absolutely loved it. It introduced us to the Dragon Engine, where it has become way more RPG-ish now, and it's what they used for the remake of Yakuza 2, which was Kiwami 2, where you have to eat to gain XP, and then you burn off those calories as you fight and as you do things, and then you have to eat again, and then you continually cycle XP that way, as well as from many other things. But it's quite different from the original games, where you had kind of a, what would you consider it, Ben? Like a grid system? Like the sphere grid, kind of?
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to Final Fantasy X a little bit.
Yeah.
Where
sure.
You unlock abilities like that. Yeah. And it's similar in 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Not exactly like 0. It's more of like categorized and stuff like that. But I really enjoyed what they did with 6 as far as from a engine perspective. And it was a great wrap-up to the entire series. The final act of that game is beautiful. And as always, it's Yakuza, so the story is still top-notch. So saying that it's not the strongest game in the series still makes it stronger than a ton of other games that I've ever played. But yeah, it was very, very enjoyable, and it was a proper send off for Kiryu. So my number 8 is Yakuza 6, 2018. What about you, Ben?
Number 8, huh? Let's see. My number 8 is an old family classic. Madden 19. Everyone knows this one as being a football game. And what do you know, this year they did it again. They made a football game.
Wow. For the 21st year in a row. I can't believe
they
did it.
Yeah, 20 plus years. I sim my franchises more than I actually play the game. I just have fun building teams. The gameplay took a little bit of a step back this year as they're trying to implement new things. There's a lot of ridiculous things out there for men that you can find if you look for it. I highly recommend looking for it because it's very funny. But it's football. It's all I got for football. And thanks, EA.
It's
knocked
Madden.
It out of the park again with this franchise.
You know what it is. It is what it is.
So yeah. My number 8 is Madden 19.
Okay. Moving on to what I think will be probably my controversial pick for this list. Number 7 is Fallout 76. Yes, the game that has been
controversial in that it's high, or that it's that low?
That it even made his list.
That it's that it even made my list.
Oh, fair enough.
It's easily known that I am a huge Fallout fanboy, so I definitely treated this game with some kid gloves, definitely not as harshly as most people do, but I enjoy exploring those worlds, and that's what that game allows me to do.
They did do a good job with building the world.
Yeah, they made a cool world. Yeah, the online stuff is kind of shitty and rough around the edges, but it doesn't impede my experience enough to make me not want to play the game. Not having NPCs is weird, but after a while, like, I didn't really notice anymore. So, like I said, yeah, maybe I'm treating this game a little more kindly than it should be, but whatever. I'm having fun with it, so fuck what anyone else thinks. You know, most people wouldn't even
but
think
games
of
should
putting
be.
This. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's,
if you have fun with it, who's to say it's not a fun game?
Not going to be a surprise when Red Dead 2 isn't on my top 10.
Yeah.
I wasn't having fun with it, and Fallout 76 is. So, yeah, it's what it is. So, yeah, the game I will be playing well into next year, because that fucking world is gigantic, and I think I still haven't even seen half of it, because...
I wonder what the DLC is going to be.
Oh, my gosh. If they add more world, I mean, it's a game no one's ever going to finish, because it's like, when they said four times the size of Fallout 4, they weren't kidding. Like... that
people are going to be mad though that they're going to give more content to be paid for.
I mean, what?
I'm just saying.
That's how these games work.
I'm just saying what the public outcry is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, people are,
and then they're all going to buy
that game forever, no matter what. People have made up their mind about that game, and no matter what they do to make it better, people are always going to be like, "Oh, Fallout, that game fucking sucks." I never played it for 1 second, so yeah, but it's terrible. So whatever. If you like Fallout games, play Fallout 76. All the dressings about it being an online game don't detract from the experience of exploring those worlds. So, yeah, that's why I love it, and that's why it's my number 7 game of the year.
All right, my number 7 of the year, again, I don't know. I think my list is going to catch you both off guard, I guess, for... where I place a lot of these. But my number 7 is Monster Hunter World. This game, again,
I'm shocked, to be honest, because you've been talking this game up
all
year.
Ended up
in
the same space with Monster Hunter World.
See, here's the thing with my top 10 is, like, I love all these games. I just like certain ones better for certain reasons.
Monster Hunter World, I'll say for me, was the game I wish I played more this year.
Fair.
I wish I did too. Fortnite completely derailed our Monster Hunter experience.
It derailed my entire 2018 experience.
No, and I get that.
Yeah,
I think that if you had stayed with it, it would have kept me with it more. I put more time than you guys did because I was playing
way more fun with friends.
And I was playing with Andy and Sean, and I don't remember who else was playing.
Jeremy and Dave.
That's right. We had a lot of people. But I guess when it comes to, like, us, which is, like, well, us and Andy are, like, the common four that we seem to play with. So it's tough when you guys, both of you especially, weren't on it anymore. I do hope that you jump back on it, Mike, especially for when the new expansion comes out in the fall. I'm going to be installing it in the next couple of months once they announce... the Geralt thing. I think they said spring, so I would assume...
First half 2019.
Okay, so hopefully sometime in the next couple months. And, yeah, it was really fun. It was my real first Monster Hunter experience, like, full-fledged Monster Hunter experience. I played some of the old ones. I just never owned a DS. I played some of the old ones, and I really, really enjoyed them. This was very, very, very different. For what it was, I really, really, really enjoyed it. So yeah, my number 7 of 2018 is Monster Hunter World.
Now that we've gotten that terrible game out of the way, my number 7 is Monster Hunter World. Yeah, Jake and I had this game in the same spot. Jake pretty much nailed it. It's a really fun game with your friends. Just playing it by yourself isn't the same at all. It's too grindy for me these days. I can't do that anymore like I used to. But the world,
as I get older, I want to grind less. I'm kind of with you on that.
I'm more about give me a captivating story, characters. Keep me interested that way.
Unless there's a lot of variety with the grinding. The Monster Hunter grinding.
There was a lot of variety in that.
I mean, yeah, yes and no. It definitely has a lot of repetition.
You're doing the same thing to different monsters.
Right.
Yeah. And then after a while, the monsters get, like, repetitive too. Because, like, okay, there's only...
Because you're grinding for gear parts and stuff.
Right. Exactly. So you're fighting the same monster.
No,
so
I got you.
I don't want to...
Grind
games are tough, man.
Yeah.
Which is funny because you guys fucking love... Well, I say you guys. You play it more than I do, so that's why I say it that way. But playing Black Ops, and that's grindy as fuck. And that's literally the same thing
but
every time. Well,
we're not playing
it's a different
it for grinding. We're
though.
Playing it to dominate other human people and make them feel
bad
about
themselves.
No, I get that.
But
playing it to murder.
No, I get that. But I'm saying you guys do love getting those tiers. So part of it is... Part of it is a small grind, but I agree.
That's the carrot on the stick, though.
It's competition for me.
Right. Well, that's
those
my
games
point.
For the competition.
There is no
not
carrot
the...
on the stick for Monster Hunter unless you're playing a game. You have to set your own goal in Monster Hunter, and I think that, unfortunately for a few of us,
that
goal was set way too. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what Monster Hunter World Online would be like if you could play against other people. Or there was
I'm
kind of
with.
System.
With Ben on as far as the grinding, like I like if I see everything the game has to offer, like I'm good. I don't need to like I want to get max level all gear sets and all weapon types like that. That's kind of like all right. If
that's
I'm creating,
endgame for some people,
yeah, right. And that's for some people, but like I don't reach that point unless I'm like absolutely head over heels and like in love with the game.
Well, that's
like,
also like
want
a
more of it. So once in a while that,
plus hour
right.
investment.
Once in a while that does happen, but like for Monster Hunter, that was not one of those games where I even when if I would have played it more, I would have probably reached some sort of end point and I'd just been like, okay, I'm good here. Like I'm good here.
I gotcha. Well, if you ever do jump back into it earlier, then I would hope that you jump back into it earlier than next fall. I would definitely start playing it again. But I'm glad to hear you say that too, Ben, where it's just kind of where it is, where it should be, at like number 7. And Mike, you seem to agree.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was Mike's number 8, wasn't it?
It was not. My number 8 was Guacamelee 2.
Where was Monster Hunter World on yours? Didn't you already?
He hasn't named it yet.
Oh, man.
Monster Hunter World is my number 6 game of 2018. So
good
let's keep this conversation going. I mean, the only piece I'll had is I gave this game a lot of credit because it's the first time I ever got into a Monster Hunter game.
There you go.
I've played quite a few of those before and have bounced off of them just as quickly. And I put like, 60, 70 hours into this game. And yeah, I guess I never really, quote, beat it because I didn't, like, beat the final big bad boss at, like, the, quote, story. So, but, like, I didn't feel, like, jilted. Like, I enjoyed those 60, 70 hours I played and... Yeah, I do want to go back to it, especially when that new expansion comes out. And, you know, this, you know, it's that, you know, when I'm in the mood for that mindless game like this, I usually always have one of those going at some point, whether it's, you know, Destiny or fucking Rocket League or whatever it is, like that Path of Exile, I'm sure I'll turn into that sometime next year. But, you know, I enjoy
my time
with the game.
Talk about taking our lives away.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I give this game a lot of credit for getting me into Monster Hunter World games in general. And, you know, if they ever make a 2 or, you know, if expansions are how it is, you know, I'll definitely be keeping with this series for the future. But, yeah, nice. So Monster Hunter World is my number 6 game of 2018.
All right. My number 6, here we go, is Black Ops 4.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, boo.
It was a great game. I didn't expect to want to play a COD game this much ever again.
Ever again.
Yeah. To be fair, we're not playing the typical COD modes. We're playing mostly Blackout. But, yeah, BR is a fad. This is a BR that's really good. I would not... When they announced...
We got in at the best
Call
possible
of Duty,
time.
Yeah, I mean, when they announced Call of Duty... Yeah, well... Fortnite is, this year has been at the peak of BRs, it seems, and Black Ops kind of has taken that throne. When they announced Call of Duty BR, or I say BR, when they announced Black Ops 4 and it had a BR in it, I didn't understand how it was going to work. Like, legitimately. Because the time to kill in Call of Duty is ridiculous. People were going to be chaotic. It was going to be insane. It wouldn't have made sense. It somehow plays, runs, and is probably, for us at least, the best BR out there.
I think a lot of people kudos. Would say it's the best, like gameplay-wise, yeah. Battle Royale game.
Like we've always said, there's three Battle Royales, and they each have their own thing going on. But it was in Black Ops, Fortnite, and PUBG, I think that Black Ops, for what it's going for, kills it and absolutely dominates that arc, that towing the line between arcade and realism, I guess, because the other spectrum would be cartoony and it doesn't go that route. But yeah, fantastic game. You guys play it way more than I do, but I think that's just because of Fortnite habits. It's a thing.
Yeah, it's the go-to.
It is, and I understand that. Right now,
Fortnite
my go-to
is Gwen. Good practice ground for us, that's for sure.
I mean, you guys are incredible at it, and it blows my mind every time that we win as much as we do, but then I realize that we've actually gotten really, really, really good because of all the time that we've put into to previous games. But yeah, my number 6, Black Ops 4, Call of Duty, I can't believe it, 2018.
All right, so Mike, what was your number 7?
That'd be Fallout 76.
My number 6 is Fallout 76.
You did it.
I did, because it was one of 10 games I played this year. Fallout 76 comes in at number 6. I mean, it's a Fallout 6, or it's a Fallout game with online slapped on. Honestly, it's a buggy mess. It's broken. It needs so much more work, and I want this game to succeed so much because, like we mentioned, the world they built is a lot of fun. Just all the locations they've packed in, they've done a really good job of replicating that region of the United States. It just needs to be fixed really, really badly. But it seems like Bethesda's trying to come for our wallet at this point, with the Atom shop and all that garbage. So I don't know what to expect from here on out from the game. But I do.
But Ben, they gave you Fallout 1, 2, and Tactics for free.
I got that for free, man. I cannot wait. That's going to be my number one old game of the year next year. I'm going to do it. Fallout Tactics. So, yeah, I enjoy just, you know, wandering the world, finding new landmarks, exploring, seeing what they have to offer. I know I have not run into all enemy types so far, but I'm looking forward to it. I just have a hard time logging into the game right now. Once we get back into the swing of releases in January, it might get a little tougher. So hopefully I can muster up a little.
Maybe by the time you go back, it'll be fixed.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're working really hard on fixing the game and not trying to incorporate.
Just like how Fallout 4 is fixed.
Fallout 4 is fine. I played.
It took them a long time, though.
It took them a while, but, well, not a while. It took them a few months to get it ironed out, but. And that's why I still have hope for this, is because of what they did with 4. Because 4, you play 4, now it runs great. It's fun. I've got no issues with 4 right now. Played it on the Pro. I started on the normal PS4, and then I got my Pro, and then I just, a few months before 76 came out, I fired up 4, tried it out. It was fantastic. It looked great. It played great. It was smooth. Had a great time, and I was like, 76 is going to blow us all away. It did. It blew us all away from their game. No one wants to play it now because it's frustrating. Do you like how I set that up, Jake?
That was a good one. I loved it.
Right. Super good.
So yeah, my number...
I didn't want to interrupt your hate towards the game.
My number whatever 6 is Fallout 76.
God damn, so invested in this fucking game.
Jeez.
Nice.
Alright, my number 5.
Here we go. Top 5, baby.
Spider-Man.
I heard some people didn't like it that much.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'll put it this way. I initially, when this game was announced and hearing of what it was going to be, like, after playing 3 Batman games, I was like, it's just going to be another one of those. Like, all right. Like, I don't know how many more of those I can handle before I just, like, don't care anymore. And in some ways, yes, it was one of those, but it was still very fun. I mean, the combat, I think they pull it off. The traversal of that game is so much fun to do. Like, just web slinging across that city was a total blast and never stopped being fun at all.
The physics were perfect.
And the fact that they added...
Yes. You could turn on a dime.
They added perks in that gave you EXP for pulling off moves in the air.
Mm-hmm. Doing tricks and stuff.
Yeah, all the suits they had with all their... allowing you to wear whatever suit you wanted and not have, like, an ability tied to it or some stupid crap that would, like, force you into something... Wearing something that you wouldn't necessarily want to was a really nice feature.
Yeah, the customization of all the suits was
really cool. I'd say, like, the only knock against this game I really had was that the side content was pretty generic and thin. It was just kind of like a lot of, like, hey, go here and beat up some guys.
It was also really repetitive.
Yeah, very repetitive. Like, specifically those stupid research missions. My goodness, like...
It felt like they were designed differently from the rest of the
game.
Stop reading off my sheet.
It was like a separate team that was locked in a closet. They're like, come up with some side missions, and then they came out with those. But, I mean, overall, it was a good game. I mean, I really enjoyed the story. I'm invested enough to where once Spider-Man 2 comes along, because obviously, if you didn't play the game, there's going to be a second game.
Oh, yeah. Probably sooner than later, honestly.
Yeah, I mean...
I would expect it this cycle.
Yeah,
like,
even
before
that, or
PS5.
Like, PS, or like a date, like if
PS5
that launched
launch,
with PS5
yeah.
launch, ooh, that'd be a home run out the gate. But great either
game.
Way, like, yeah. Had a great time with Spider-Man. That's my number 5 game of this year.
All right. My number 5 is Dead Cells. Too low for you, Mike?
We'll see.
Oh, God.
Red Dead 2 isn't on your list.
I know. Red Dead 2
is not on your list.
I'm not judging.
Pardon me.
I think we just outed Mike's number 1.
You'll see.
To your point, like when we started, roguelike Metroidvania just in general, it's not even roguelike, Metroidvanias in general seem to have made a slight comeback recently. It's not even slight.
Mm-hmm.
This game
becoming better and better, I'd say.
Yeah, and this game had a very interesting twist to it, putting the roguelike to it. I loved how many different trees you can take and how many different paths. When I say trees, I mean, like, paths through the levels. There were 3, like, different routes, like, main routes that you could take, and then you could split off them to go to a bunch of... How many areas were there, Mike? Like, 8 or 9? Probably.
I had, like, total, yeah...
Maybe more.
Around that, yeah, because, like, yeah. Because with how many different branches you could take from, like, start to finish, I think that's
yeah.
what ends up being around that, around, like, yeah. 7
and 8. The first time you beat the game and they give you that little twist is very cool. And it really explains the entire game to you, kind of, you know, when you reach that point. As far as difficulty goes from that point on, I have attempted it on hard. God damn, dude.
It's my one negative mark against that game is the difficulty spike going from standard to increased difficulty. It's brutal. It is brutal.
If you want to consider beating each difficulty, beating the game, I've beat the game once out of possible.
That's what I consider.
Four or five?
I think, it's four. Well, I guess four five, total. Well, it's there's, zero and then one, two, three, four.
And then
so technically
one, two,
you
three,
beat the
four.
Game
so there's five
total. Times.
Normal is two. Essential. When you
but
start
just,
the game,
it's
tutorial.
It's the same game.
That's
it's
what
the
it
same
is.
Game, but tougher. Like, it, I, there's
but
not like.
Is it the
same
game,
or,
though? Because you have to completely overhaul how you play. You don't give
well,
you
I mean,
as healing
far as,
as.
Content. Like, there's no new bosses.
Oh, yeah, content.
Or
yeah. Right.
Difficulties.
Yeah. But, yeah, that difficulty spike was quite extreme. Yeah. And for the game to be based on RNG for the drops, I mean, you can manipulate a little bit. You know, through shops and unlocks and stuff like that. And, like, you can pay into a drop so that you only have to pay one more, so it gives it to you there. There's ways, like I said, to manipulate. But, yeah, I kind of have no interest in going back and trying to play those other difficulties just because I feel like it would take my enjoyment of the game down a notch. Because I would just be grinding and beating my head up against a wall.
Yeah, that's why
as
I
far as
keep playing on normal.
Yeah, I was going to say, as far as
keep playing the game on normal.
As far as now goes, I'm just going to keep playing it on normal like you are. And just, I think my end goal right now is to unlock everything I can on normal. And then decide what I want to do from there. Because there's still quite a bit of stuff that I can unlock.
Oh, for sure.
So, we'll see. But yeah, to start my top five... It is Dead Cells for 2018.
I just added Dead Cells to my Steam wish list.
Buddy.
Along with Celeste and Guacamelee 2.
I think you'll have a good time, Ben. Yeah, Dead Cells has been on sale, actually, once. That's why I didn't want to ruin the twist for you. I think you'll have a good time. I think that you'll find it quite difficult, but I think you'll have a good time.
I'm looking forward to giving that a whirl. I've eyeballed it for a while. Just that whole rogue, roguelike game. They're not my brand of gaming, so we'll see.
The synergies though that you can put together in that game, if you can put them together right, they're very OP, and you just don't have to ever worry about anything. So I think you'll enjoy that. And the fact that it's a Metroidvania, I think the combination of those things will make you forget about the fact that it's a roguelike.
That's not too bad. I'm, like I said, got my eye on it, ready to roll if I can get it for cheap. But until then, my number five is Far Cry 5. Yeah, I know, right? This game was a lot of fun. I was surprised by how much fun I had in this game. The story was crazy. The map was huge. And all the characters, so colorful. It just had fun meeting random people who really had nothing to do with the main story. But they all had a real colorful, you know, backstory to them, and a lot of them had side missions that you could do, and I thought they did really good work.
Some of them were better than parts of the main game.
Right.
I
thought that's where this game shined. It reminded me a lot of The Witcher, where you could get distracted by some side quests, and it ended up being just some epic, crazy story that was...
I would
agree. Felt like a main mission, but it was just some side mission.
Some of that side stuff was way better. And colorful is a great word to describe that game because it is colorful in a lot of different ways, as well as the landscape. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, it was...
And it popped.
Yeah, it really did. And I had a lot of fun. I guess my biggest gripe with the game was the gunplay felt a little loose. You really just had to find your groove with a couple of different weapons. Otherwise, it was kind of tough.
Agree. It felt, I think that's due to the fact that it was arcadey.
Very but much so.
I would agree with you on
that. I don't know, it felt like they were trying to pull a Wolfenstein Doom where you just kind of run around and just kill 1,000 people at once out of nowhere.
Yeah, even though in other parts of the game they were trying to make it more real, and that was one of its flaws, that's for sure.
Yep, that was my biggest gripe of the game, but I really enjoyed it. I like the story. I know Jake didn't like it as much as I did, but I'm really looking forward to this spring's, I don't know, what do you want to call it? The
spinoff
of the result of Far Cry 5. So my number 5 is Far Cry 5.
It didn't make my top 10, obviously, but I don't think by any means it wasn't a very good game.
It's no Spider-Man.
I agree with all your points.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, my number 4 this year is God of War. I have a relatively short history with this franchise. I had only played 3, I think, a month before this game came out.
That was just such a different game.
Yeah, I mean, you draw the line in the sand between this game and the rest of the series, because it's not even... All they share is in name and characters, and that's pretty much where the similarities stop, because this is like a brand new franchise, essentially. Gorgeous game. Wonderful soundtrack. Great characters. Great story. I love just the interaction between Kratos and his son. The kind of twists and turns that game took near the end were not only surprising, but I enjoyed kind of where that story went and where it will go in the obviously there's going to be a sequel, and I just overall love that game. I mean, I had some gripes with the combat and kind of a little bit of the controls, but it wasn't enough for me to like be deterred from playing the game. Side content, again, it was pretty good, but getting around in that world was probably like my biggest gripe with the game, is that fast travel is kind of there.
It was a weird system.
But mostly it's by boat, so it's not, you know, it takes a while to get around in that world. So going, kind of doing backtracking is something not very appealing in that game. So I did a good amount of side content, but I definitely didn't do all of it, just because like the thought of just like, okay, I'm going to have to boat all the way across this lake, and okay, and then I have to go all the way back. I'm like, that's good. But I like, again, it didn't like deter from my experience. I still,
I would, I would give you that the game's very slow moving. The controls really feel, I don't know, bogged down, almost Gears of War, where you're moving from the waist up.
Maybe it feels like how an old controlling an old man should feel. It's kind of slow and plodding, as Kratos is in his. I mean, I don't know how old he actually is. He's old. I mean, they make him.
He's
look old,
lived
so he's,
a year
he's
or two.
He's old. He's been around for.
He's been around
hundreds or thousands. I don't know how that timeline all works. If he's like, either way, but. I mean, it again, just kind of like Spider-Man, where it's just like, all right, you got me in. You like, I'm in for God of War 2, and another one that I imagine is on the relatively near horizon. I don't expect them to wait too long for firing up that sequel, and I will definitely be right there waiting when it comes out. So my number 4 of 2018 is God of War.
As long as it's not too soon. I just take your time.
Yeah, again.
Oh, yeah, no rush.
Make that game.
That's a PS5 game. That's PS5 game.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, that's... Yeah. They should be in early stages.
3-4 years from now. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All right. My number 4 is Kiwami 2. This is a ground-up remake, brand-new engine, of Yakuza 2. We agreed that remasters were not a thing, but this is a full-on remake. I would put it in the same realm as Shadow of the Colossus. What other remakes were there this year? Were there any other remakes this year? There's one on Probably one or two on Switch.
We mentioned a few last week.
Mostly remasters, like Burnout was a remaster. Yeah, Katamari,
that's true.
Remaster.
Yeah, we did mention a few last week.
But, yeah.
So, when I initially played all the Yakuza games, it was a rush, because I wanted to get through them before 6, and after I had played 0 initially, and I wanted to just kind of get through them, so I didn't really explore as much of the side stuff as I initially wanted to. Playing this, I took my sweet time. This is probably my second favorite Yakuza game. The story in this game is phenomenal. It is exactly what you think of when you think of Yakuza in Clan Wars, and it's very brutal compared to some of the other games, and it really lays on how Kiryu has developed as a as a character from 1 to 2, because in 1 he's this fresh baby Yakuza, and in 2 you can see the respect he's earned, especially from his peers and from the community. People know who he is, and his adversary in that game, I'm trying to be as vague as possible for when you play it, Ben, but his adversary in 2 is one of my favorite, I would say villain, but it's everything is so kind of gray in those games.
If it's not Mr. Libido, I'm going to be upset.
The funny thing is, there is no good or bad in those games, but Kiryu always seems to be the true good. Like, he tries to be as good as he can all the time. He's so pure in a world of death and insanity all around
him. He definitely took the wrong line of work.
Yeah, even though he can kick major ass, and he's very good at his job. So, yeah, that's trying to be as vague as possible for when Ben plays it. So my number 4 of 2018 is Kiwami 2.
All right. I am up now with my number 4, and I'm going to go with the Black Ops 4. This is essentially Blackout with multiplayer modes and zombie modes, because we've probably done 75% of this game in Blackout at this point. It's fun. We have fun. I have fun most of the time. It's just the real world shooter battle royale game we've been waiting for on the PlayStation. We've talked a lot about this, and it's fun.
It's just fun. It's Battle Royale.
We have a good time.
Because so many of these games we've talked so much about over the year, it's like, what more is there to say?
Like, yeah, I mean,
we get into this top five, and yeah,
you know what Battle Royale is. Like, it, you know, it's, I crossed 100 hours of Blackout this week. And that game came out in October. So
I keep forgetting
to
look at my numbers
weeks.
On that.
So in about about 2 months, you've
just Blackout, and I think I probably
the
have
beginning of October.
40 hours of multiplayer at least, probably on top of that. So 100, I got 150 hours in that game in 10 weeks.
I played more multiplayer in that game than I expected. It's a good game all around.
I don't mind it.
It's just a solid game.
Yeah, and zombies,
I do
want to
jump into zombies
at
some point.
Played is fun too. So yeah.
Yeah.
Multiplayer gives me a better feel for all the different weapons in the game. It lets me practice.
A testing ground.
Yeah,
it's
like practice against other people.
Yeah, it lets me learn, like, exactly, like, when I'm running up on a gun, it's like, I don't want that gun. Ooh, there's a KN, give me that gun. I wish that we had a firing range that allowed us to snipe between 100 to 300 meters to kind of give us a feel for bullet dropping on these guns.
That'd be
a nice addition, considering that...
The last couple Call of Duty games actually had firing ranges in them of some kind, that it'd be nice to have that.
Absolutely.
Well, technically, now that Blackout has, like, private matches, I guess we can kind of make our own, in a sense.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, they just added that, like, stealthily in the last update or two. You can do private lobbies, I think up to 12 people.
Oh, shit, yeah, we definitely need to mess with that.
Yeah, so I guess we can just kind of make our own firing range.
All right, problem solved. We'll take it back. it's there. So, along
it's
with...
there, kind of.
Along with gun camos and blackout. So, that was another nice little addition to the game.
I think all we're waiting for now is better inventory...
Inventory management and armor adjustments again.
Yeah, and then that's just balance. Yeah, balance and tweaks. But as far as like main mechanics, that game is like tight.
Yeah,
solid.
I'm impressed. I'm very happy with what they've done with it. And we've talked at length about the future of this game. And I cannot wait to have this discussion more throughout next year.
Mm-hmm.
So number four is Black Ops 4.
All right, getting near the end here. The top three games of 2018.
I don't think these are going to start coming as a surprise to anyone anymore once we start naming our personal games.
You're going to be at least one of your games, Jake's, and one of Mike's games.
You know what my top three are at this. Everybody should know what my top... I know what Mike's top three are going to be, and I have an idea of what your top three are going to be too, Ben. I'm surprised you don't... Oh,
mine
I know
very
which one
easy.
You don't know.
Well, I will get things started at number three with Celeste.
Here we go.
Now, I will not speak much to the story, as I feel that should be experienced by everyone.
Thank you.
It is a very emotional journey.
Very.
I will say that.
Especially for being this style of game it is. You do not expect anything of what you're going to play.
The story takes you by surprise, as with how this game is presented, you think of it as like a Meat Boy type of, okay, this is going to be a, I think they call them splatformers now, the ones based on you just dying repeatedly and having to repeat the same sections over and over again, whereas story would be secondary, where it's like, oh, no, story is a monumental element of this game, and it is wonderful. Music, I mean, best soundtrack of 2018 for a reason. The art style, while it is, you know, it's your, you know, kind of 8-bitty style, is nice and fits well into the game. The platforming is challenging, but I never felt it was like pound my fist into the wall levels of difficulty, at least with the main story. Like, they have these optional B-sides and C-side stuff. That's kind of where it's like, you want your tough as nails platforming, it's
that's
there
punishment.
If you want it, but that is completely optional content, not required to play through the game. And with the assist modes that they've put in that game, this game can be beaten by anybody. Like, they basically...
Literally anybody.
If you can hit the jump button and you can move, you can finish that game. Like, the assists they put in that game allow you to play that game, make the game as easy as you want it to be. And I think that was really cool of them to do.
And to your point, even at its hardest on normal difficulty, or, you know, how you normally play it, it's nothing compared to, like, what Meat Boy has to offer or anything
like
that.
Yeah, there's definitely parts I repeated multiple times, but it never got to that, like, near rage-inducing, like, what Meat Boy can do to you. Where
I think they want you to... Go ahead.
I would say, and plus with it being like a screen-based game, like the longest like loop is going to be like, you know, 30 seconds. Like, it's going to take you to get through a screen once you complete it. It's not like a 5-minute sequence that you fail and have to start all over. No, it's like, okay, this is like a 30-second loop that once I get through, you know, once I get through it, it's like, okay, quick, done, move on.
And I think they really want you to experience the story, so that's why intentionally nothing's overly difficult so that you can actually beat it and experience the game.
Agreed. Yeah, 100% agree. And, it's a wonderful game. Definitely as far as, like, surprises this year, definitely took me by surprises. I knew nothing of this game. I watched a trailer of it, like, the day before it came out, and I'm like, that's all I need to see. Let me give this a whirl, and just like that, it's my number three game of 2018, Celeste.
Yeah, I don't even remember when or if this game was in that, like, I wonder if there was any hype going up to it, because I'm the same way as you, is like, you told me about it, I watched a trailer, I was like, yeah, I'm all in. So, to make this simple, my number three is also Celeste. That is my number three game of the year, 2018.
All right.
Okay, Ben.
I'm going to make it more difficult. My number three is Spider-Man. This is a game that someone else talked about way earlier in their list, which is ridiculous. It's
both of us, by the way, earlier. Don't just single me out.
Yeah.
It's easily one of the most well-rounded games of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
Of all time. Go, no.
It does everything.
It was really
right,
very except, well done.
Except, and my complaint is the same as your guys', is it gets a little repetitive with some of those dumb side missions if you want to platinum the game. It's the only time it's repetitive is if you want to platinum the game. And we all know that my biggest gripe with trophies these days is it's not something you actually do that's really difficult and
you
get a trophy
have
for.
To do
it's,
those res-
it's can you do the same thing 1,000 times over and over again? Then we'll reward you.
The first couple of research ones you have to do. They're story required.
But those are
really
the,
annoying.
But they're the yeah, one they're time you only have to do it one time and it's a different
sure,
thing
I'm just
each
saying.
Time.
Everything trophy related, to your point, you have to do at least once to for them to introduce the thing to you.
Sure, which is no big deal because it's you're only doing it one time to get through the story. But if you want that you want that trophy, you gotta do the same thing.
It is a pretty easy platinum.
It's an easy platinum. I did it in 40 some hours, it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's not difficult.
Other
I do
want to
go back and play it on New Game Plus.
I don't. But trying to get a platinum trophy in that game, it really holds you hostage. Because there's really no storytelling going on during those missions. It's just, hey, Pete, do this thing where you gotta do this thing again. Sorry. And then you do it because you're a sucker. Because you really want that goddamn trophy. But,
exactly.
No, and we've mentioned this before as well. The music in this game really does capture the Spider-Man feel of just zipping around New York City. And
it makes you feel like you're in a movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it felt like the Spider-Man movie music. I said that the first time I played it, that it felt like that.
It sounds like a Spider-Man movie. It looks like a Spider-Man movie. And you get to play it. So,
again, just because it was my number 9 doesn't mean I hated it.
Sounds
just,
like you hated
everything
it.
I've named, everything I named after that game has legitimate reason to be higher than it, and you've heard my reasoning.
I mean, my number 9 was NHL 19, and I'm just not a real big fan of it overall. And you've got it the same.
You also had to struggle to get 10. I didn't.
It's a bad year, thanks Fortnite, and I didn't enjoy that. So my number 3 is Spider-Man.
And with that, my number 2 game of 2018, Call of Duty Black Ops.
Way
I
too
mean,
high.
Just...
Good lord.
I would agree, way too high.
Did you play any other games this year?
I played almost 20 games this year. 20 new games.
I'm surprised you thought it was better than Celeste.
I'm surprised you found it better than Red Dead Redemption 2. Oh wait, you haven't done your number 1
it's
yet.
Not
my
on
bad.
His...
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
It's
not there.
My number 1.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with Call of Duty and why it's so high. After the last few years of Call of Duty,
don't
I mean, we
give
all
it a boost because it has one good year out of 5 years.
Down.
Oh.
And we all had no interest in what this game was. And then we all watched the Blackout beta, and then we all
Jake
instantly
played
got the.
That's true, I did.
Yeah. Instantly got, like, even the multiplayer beta came and went, and we're all just like, eh, whatever. It's Call of Duty.
If you're
marrying, Call of Duty multiplayer.
But if you're making the comparison argument, then it should be number 1 on everybody's list, because it's the best Call of Duty they've made since, like, how long? It's
Call of Duty 4
years. No, I'm just saying, like, this is why it is where it is on my list.
Okay, fair enough.
And with that, you know, once we played that beta, Blackout beta, I was just like, they fucking did it. I mean, I was such a shit talker when they announced they were doing Battle Royale. I'm like, there's no way they're going to do anything that's going to be remotely good. And then they went and made me eat all that shit I had to talk that I talked about that game because they
oh yeah,
they
proved
did it.
All
like,
of us
they,
wrong.
They shut me right the hell up with it when it came to their ability to put out like a quality battle royale mode, because they did. And with me spending, gosh, $600-700 playing battle royale games this year, and to not only not be burned out after playing so much Fortnite, but to get more excited playing Call of Duty than probably almost at my like peak of playing Fortnite, like I was just blown away at how much time I've spent into this game, how much I'm enjoying playing this game. And I mean, who knows, maybe, you know, next year's Call of Duty could be just back to same old bullshit, and yeah, maybe this is the last great Call of Duty they'll ever
until Treyarch puts out another one.
If
they do away with VR, if they do away with VR until another game for another 2 years or however many cycles they go through until they make another game,
we all agree that'd be fucking crazy. This is the formula these games have to go. You know, fuck
right.
the campaign. Like, no one cares anymore. It has to be your three pillars or zombies or whatever it is. You know, something versus
right.
AI. And multiplayer battle royale, like that's your
I just
three pillars
really
of your
want
Call
to see
of Duty games have to be
what they do this
and
next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, we all admitted that
I'm
one
curious.
Of our more anticipated games of next year was what the hell is the next Call of Duty going to be?
Yeah,
and for good reason. But because, I mean, yeah, call it. Yeah, this is number two. Yeah,
I understand.
I mean,
makes
yeah,
sense.
Like, nothing against any other game on this. Like Celeste. I mean, in just because like Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is number two this year. When I look at, when I go back and do like a top 10 games of the generation, Celeste is going to be on that list. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 probably won't be. Or if it is,
right.
Celeste is going to be way higher up on that list. But I'm just
this is a game
for
of
this
the
year,
moment.
Like, yeah, all time games, like Celeste is on that, is in that conversation for all time great games. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is not. But for
yeah.
this year, for the year of Battle Royale, like, this is the best Battle Royale game out there.
I am 100% with you. This is, you're making my point as to why Spider-Man was lower for me. It's all about the game and
yeah.
the moment and what you're feeling. I could put Call of Duty at number two. That argument makes complete sense.
I mean,
to me.
The thought of putting it at number one was definitely in my mind for a time being. Like it,
I
like
couldn't
this,
do that, but
yeah, I mean, I like I said, didn't go through with it obviously, but the thought of it
yeah.
like, is this a legit
no,
number one contender?
Totally
like,
fair, absolutely.
It kind of is. But yeah,
it is.
My number two, Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
There you go. My number two of 2018 is Red Dead Redemption 2.
Wow.
Come on. You knew this wasn't my game of the year.
Terrible.
No way. I'm legit surprised.
I can't
really?
Believe it's this
I'm
high
not.
On your list because it's a bad game.
Yeah, I know. It's totally a bad game. Here's the thing with Red Dead is that I put more time into this than I did my game of the year by far. But
that game requires a lot.
Here's the
of
other
time.
Thing though. It's and this is my only knock, well, only. This is my biggest knock against Red Dead 2. It's still Red Dead. Like
yeah, how
it's
dare
refined
it,
Red Dead,
how dare
but
it be
it's still
a good
No, I'm
game.
Saying that's why it couldn't be number 1 for me. That's why it didn't that's why it's not number 1. Because at its core, it's still Red Dead. From a everything else perspective, we've talked about this game so much, I don't really know what else we can do. Next week, when we're getting back into our games, we'll be able to do some spoiler story talk, since Ben will have been done. But, we've said everything there is to say about this game. It's visually, it's the most gorgeous console game I've ever seen. I had one of the most immersive video game experiences I've ever had. The character of Arthur Morgan, initially when I started, I did not super care for, because I just, you know, everybody likes John. Everybody played Red Dead. Arthur Morgan, as a character, is one of the most memorable characters I'll have ever played in my time playing video games. His transformation from the beginning to the end of that game is so on point, and you grow with him, and the world grows with him, and it's Yeah. I mean, I could gush about this game forever, and I spent easily over 100 hours in that world. I think that online is fun. I think, Ben, if you give it another shot, maybe while you're on this little vacation, you and me can jump into it and
definitely. I do want to play with someone else in the online.
Yeah, and we can posse up and stuff, because after participating in all the original beta stuff, I got a whole bunch of free gold, so I can make a posse for us and stuff. And it's fun. It's, you know, it's definitely lacking. There's not a ton of content there yet, but it's still technically in beta, I guess. I'm looking forward to hopefully them add. I mean, if they're smart and it's realistic and going in the same sense or same path as GTA, I would assume there'll be some train heists or bank robberies or whatever. GTA, you can do that in the main game anyway. Yeah. So we'll see. I think everybody's still getting their feet under them. And again, it's still called a beta. So, but fantastic game. Again, we've talked about it so much. I don't want to just repeat myself over and over and over, but yeah, it's one of the most memorable video game experiences I've ever had. So with that said, Red Dead Redemption 2 is my number 2 this year.
All right. I'm going to jump into my number 2. My number 2 is the God of War. Mr. Kratos himself.
Wow.
Yep. Shocking.
Did this change because you beat the game? All right, I want to hear this.
So, God of War is they kind of revamped this game. It's, you know, kind of ready to just rock your face. It's definitely one of the prettiest on the console, and they did a really good job telling the story. Storytelling came from all angles in this game, whether it be from Kratos, whether it be from Atreus reading things, whether it be from a decapitated head on your belt. They did a really good job. Just phenomenal. I'm going through my notes here. I've got a lot of notes. So for me, like I mentioned before, the combat was a lot of fun. They revamped what they did from previous God of War games, and I played 1 and 2. I never got around to playing 3 because I kind of got tired of the whole button-mashing nonsense that came with it. And this edition, they focused a little more on combos than just mashing the same buttons over and over again. This gave you so many different ways to get through fights. That was a nice addition to the old, which they brought over, but they kind of spruced it up a bit. I also liked that they included Atreus as your little helper in all these fights. So it was kind of like an extra attack that you could do that wasn't coming from you. They included I can't even remember now. Was it the relic moves and what have you, where you could just annihilate a few people at a time with,
Yeah, there was a lot of customization to, even like when you first look at the skill tree. Yes. Yeah, when you first look at that skill tree, it was very bare bones looking because there wasn't a lot there, but with all the gems and relic moves and stuff like that, the customization in that game and the amount of combos you could do was really, really cool. And everybody kind of had different builds, and it was really fun. Also, to your point of the combos, Ben, I thought that the weapon switching, I thought that was very cool because that was a combo in itself.
Absolutely, because you could go up into a fight with multiple different enemies, they have multiple different weaknesses, and you had two weapons to bounce between to take down these enemies as quickly as possible. Because if you were playing on a much higher difficulty than I was playing on a much easier difficulty to get through the game, it was very much needed to flip flop between these juggle enemies, because you could get wiped very quickly if you were not careful as to what you were doing. That's awesome. That's what this kind of game needed to move forward in, I don't know, this time of, God, I don't even know what to call them anymore. Souls type games where everything needs to be bone crippling hard, and if it's not, it's trash. There's a lot of fun.
They gave you a choice in difficulty.
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice of them. Yeah, because I played that on hard, and some of those fights were.
I played it on normal, and some of those fights were hard.
Yeah, I mean, I played it on normal, and that game still was fairly challenging in a lot of points.
I think my total time with Valkyrie Queen ended up being around 7 or 8 hours.
I pulled one of those dickhead Valkyries out of the ground or whatever they were, and I got smoked. I ended up running.
Yeah, those fights.
I got murdered by
those
one.
Those fights.
And I accidentally touched another, and I ran. I saw what it was, and I ran.
Dude, I love those fights so much.
I'm just glad Mirror didn't make fun of me while I ran. But like I mentioned before, he was very pivotal in a lot of the walking and traversing you had to do.
His character, yeah,
he had
did that really well.
He had a story for every time you got on that damn boat to go to another side of that damn lake, and it made it bearable. Like if you just had to do that with you and the kid, I would have lost my mind. But when he
never repeated either.
Yes, he had so many stories lined up. I love
it. It was so good. It was just to their same point as the whole game kind of being in a one shot. That kind of helped it along, because the game just never felt like it was going to drag, because there was always something going on, whether it was being narration, storytelling, beautiful scenery, whatever. The game, I don't know, the cinematography of that game was unbelievable.
So you get to the other part of the island, and you run into, it's like, oh crap, here we go, here's a stupid little shop I gotta go to. Nope. Those damn dwarves were hilarious. They were another great addition to this game. I enjoyed all of the dialogue between Atreus, Kratos, and these dwarves. It was so well done. Just the game from start to finish kept my attention and just kept me moving forward. Just from a technical and storytelling standpoint, it was a non-stop game. You just eyes forward the whole time, but sure, you could go off to the side and run around and do a little hunting for some random quest for a ghost or something. But if you just wanted to do the story, like when someone starts telling me a story, I want to hear the whole story and I want to hear the end of the story. I don't want to have to stop and listen to 80,000 things. Just let me get to my story. And this game does that. And I loved it. This is a great game. And that's why it's my number 2 game of 2018. Sorry. I feel bad. I wish I could make it number 1.
How dare you give a game?
Why apologize?
Second. So terrible. Because
Lee Carvello Golf was so good this year.
And with that, we enter our number ones. My number one game.
These will come in surprise.
Very much so. My number one game of 2018 is Dead Cells. I've talked at length in this podcast alone about Metroidvanias, roguelikes, and Dead Cells in particular. And Dead Cells basically just hits all the points, checks all the boxes, and does everything fantastically well in both of those genres. It was done before with Rogue Legacy, and it was a very good, Rogue Legacy is a very solid game, but this took it and kind of pushed it to the limits of at least what has been put out so far.
Rogue Legacy felt kind of bare bones sometimes.
Yeah, it was pretty basic. It was a fairly basic game I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, depth to the... I mean, combat was literally just, like, there's an attack, and you had an item slot, kind of just like you did in, like, a old Castlevania game.
Rogue Legacy's gameplay was very well done, though. I mean, it felt
yeah,
really
smooth.
Yeah, it
was done. It was very basic, but it was...
I never felt I was cheated in that game. I just sucked.
No, not at all. it felt like that was, like... the start of, like, a budding franchise, which, unfortunately, we haven't really seen anything more. That was, like, the, okay, here's our starter game, and then, with the sequel, we're gonna really go for it with all this shit, and then, but, unfortunately, yeah, they have not, that Rogue Legacy 2 is nowhere to be seen, but, like, this game, right out the gate, is just like, hey, we're throwing a whole lot of shit at you, like, we got, okay, roguelike permadeath, there's, like, hundreds of weapons to choose from, and we're just going to throw them all at you as fast as possible, and the combat is intense, and there's this whole sub-story to the whole game, and then there's branching pathways to lead you to... There's optional bosses, and then once you beat the game, this unlocks all these extra difficulties that are... Here's where we're going to, like, kick you in the nuts kind of level of difficulties if you want a true challenge, and all of it feels great. Like, gameplay, fantastic. Music, fantastic. Art style is really cool and really well done. And I just loved just about every damn minute I played of Dead Cells this year. And, you know, I've always been a sucker for not only roguelites, but Metroidvanias as well. And when you can combine those two together and make a really fantastic game, that's how you get to be number one on my list for 2018. Dead Cells.
I guess I just wish there wasn't so much of a difficulty spike. That's all.
I
would love to play that game on harder difficulties.
Only knock against that game. And maybe it's just like a, hey, maybe this is not like... Maybe it's like the opposite of Enter the Gungeon, where you can't really put this game down for extended periods of time. And you just gotta keep going with it. I reinstalled it the other day just to kind of like start...
It's gonna be tough to go back to.
I mean... Playing on normal, I definitely, there was a little bit of kind of re-getting my kind of bearings again,
yeah.
But I'm picking up on it pretty quick. But I think this is one of those where if you want to play on the harder difficulties, you got to stick with the game. You
yep.
can't take extended breaks.
It's
so
also one
I'm
of those
trying
you just...
to do.
It comes down to two things also, RNG, which...
Unfortunately, yes.
If you get a good run, you just
games.
Get a good
that's
run.
Just, that's how all those games are sometimes, unfortunately.
But it's also, I think, unfortunately, just kind of a get-good game where, like, you have to make the best of your situation
mm-hmm.
based on the synergy that you have, and you just got to roll with it. Like, I saw Ella beat it on every single difficulty, which blew my mind, but he did it. So, it's doable. It's just really fucking hard.
Sometimes, like, things in those games, like with Enter the Gungeon, like, all the story, all the four main characters have, like, this bonus stage that you get to at the... after being the final boss. And I spent 40, 50 hours trying to beat one of those.
Holy
and then
shit.
just this, in like a week's time, I beat all four. In just like 1 week. Just like something in my mind
yeah.
just clicked and everything was firing. And I'm sure that moment's going to come too for Dead Cells. And I'm just going to get over that hump of that ability hump. And then just there's the next level that I need to get to. To really progress further in that game, and I love that challenge in games like this.
Yeah, that game does that super, super well. So, my number one, which should come as no surprise at this point either, is God of War. Again, I put way more time into Red Dead, but for everything that Ben said, and a couple more points I'll add on, this is a new series compared to the originals. It just is. Like Ben said, same character, same kind of, you know, idea, but this is a new series. And from this, the opening shot of him chopping down the tree and carrying it, and the cinematography and the music and the dialogue's amazing, especially compared to like the originals, which were very basic. And that first encounter with the stranger and that fight, it that kind of solidified it to me where this is going to be one hell of a ride. And from start to finish, I couldn't stop smiling and loving every single minute of my experience with that game. It was never dull. It was never unenjoyable. The difficulty was absolutely there on hard. I spent many, many, many hours doing that entire section in, what realm was it where you had to fight the levels up the fire area? I was going to Mustafar, like, but that's fucking Star Wars.
The challenge. Yeah, whatever. The challenge realm is what I
prefer doing. Holy shit. Like 100 rounds of some of those fights. Ugh. That was brutal on hard, and it was just, it took a long time. But man, the combat is so satisfying. Switching from blades to throwing your axe to pulling it back and having it run through a dude's head and then, you know, hit a chain move and hit a relic move where you froze everybody in place and then did an AoE. It's just, you could start a fight and never stop moving and chaining together attacks until the end of the fight when everybody was dead. And everything about that game was so cinematic and so beautiful. Everything felt so good. There was nothing about my time with that game at any point that I felt, I don't know, dull or there were parts in Red Dead that were annoying to me. There was nothing in God of War that was ever annoying to me. Despite playing on hard, there was nothing ever where I was like, man, this fucking sucks. It just never. And the storytelling in that game was top notch. It blew me away how good that story was. It was like, honestly, it was like reading a book or watching like a really, really well done movie. It was beautiful, and I'm so excited for whenever the next one comes out, because the story that they've set up for the next few could be very, very intense. So my number one game of the year 2018 is God of War.
So I guess that's me now. I'm going to do mine, right?
Yep. It's all to you.
Oh, yeah. My number one is the obvious and easiest and most obvious, easiest choice that we all could have made, but I'm the only one that made it. It's Red Dead Redemption 2. You guys, come on.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Before you start going
please
into...
Please do.
Did why this change you because are? You beat the game? Because God of War was your number one. I like that too, but he really hates this. It's funny that it's not on your list at all. You also didn't play a good portion of the game. Did this change because you beat the game? Because I know God of War was your number one for
a long
time.
Well, that was the criteria to make this list, was you had to have beaten the game. So.
No, I understand. I'm just asking, did it change positioning on your list because of that?
I guess? I don't know.
God of War was your number one for a really long time. I'm just wondering what made this number... I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Why do you like Red Dead more than God of War, I think is what he's getting at.
Oh, okay. Let me go through my notes.
All right, sure. That works.
And then we'll do this thing here. This game plays a lot like God of War does, where it's kind of blocky and it's slow moving, but it didn't really bother me. I've played GTA, I've played Red Dead Redemption.
Wait, you found God of War slow moving?
Yeah, that shit was slow. It was tanky. You didn't feel tanky walking around as Kratos?
I felt the weight behind him. Sure. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that... They felt the same to me, honestly. It was very methodical, and, you know, it was slow. You saw a fight coming, and you got ready for it. I mean, that was both games kind of felt the same to me in that regard.
I would say if you describe it in that way, where it's like more methodical and you feel the weight behind it, sure. I totally see that.
Right. I mean, so for instance, you're on your horse and you're riding along the road in Red Dead, and three dudes jump out and two guys are behind you and they're like, "Hey there, partner, give us your gold," or whatever. You have your moment to pull your gun, pop into Deadeye, and blast everyone even before a fight starts, if you were, you know, were good enough to do that. But God of War is kind of the same thing. You roll into a room, you could see what enemies were there before you even really started fighting, and you knew, hey, do I need to swap weapons? What kind of attack do I need to do? Or is there anything that's going to shoot projectiles at me? Do I need to have my shield ready to blast stuff back at it?
It's an interesting comparison, but I understand the point you're making.
Yeah, I thought they were very similar in that regard. I thought both games did a good job in their combat. The only, I guess, knock on Red Dead is that it's nothing new. It's always done that. It's been Red Dead's Red Dead. GTA never had Deadeye. But Red Dead did, and that was, I always liked Red Eye when GTA had it. I guess technically GTA did kind of have it in the story mode. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the car and...
Well,
with,
yeah, also, they each had their own different version of Red Eye. Also with him, too.
He had his... which one of them had the slowdown and did more damage or something? Was it...
Yeah, Franklin had the driving. One of them Trevor had something.
It may have been Trevor. I think his was the slow down, do more damage. But yeah, I like that eye as well. And I like that as the game progresses, you gain more control of the dead eye. Like initially it's automatic, and then you can control how you want to use it. It's cool.
Yeah, the more you play, you get more options to it and become a little more proficient with it. But I mean, it's always been there, so it's not a big thing. And it didn't bother me. It was fine. It works for this kind of game. I don't need anything else. I mean, it's a Western. What else can you add? Robot eyeballs to shoot lasers? I don't know. You're a cowboy, for the love of God. All you can do is ride your horse and shoot a gun. So, gameplay-wise, it's fine. Graphically, the game is tops. You honest to God can't tell a screenshot from this game from a screenshot of any old river in the world.
Yeah, there are parts of this game that are photorealistic.
Yeah,
sure.
It's ridiculous. I mean, between that and then the motion capture for all of the characters, they did just a phenomenal job of just making the game as lifelike as possible. I mean, sure, you can tell the game isn't real when you look at a character talking, but if you're just out in the wild doing whatever, it's going to be a little different.
The character models are the worst looking thing in that game, and that's and they're still incredible looking, so that says a lot about the game.
Yeah. Yeah, darn. The characters don't look lifelike. That's too bad. Now, for me personally, I focused on the main story because I knew if I ventured off, I'd lose interest in it like The Witcher, because both games can easily lead you away from the main story and you'll never come back.
The difference is, though, with The Witcher, some of that side content, I forget which game we were talking about where the side content can be better than the main game, but some of the stuff in Witcher, the side content is better than the main game.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I didn't want to get distracted. So stuff like, you know, Fallout 4, Skyrim, Witcher, I knew Yakuza. I mean, I knew that I could lose so much more time by venturing off the path. So I stayed focused on the story. I knew that I could come back and do all of this at a later time. I was fine with that. So I just went down the main story. The game is very immersive. It's a little too immersive. I never had any issues, though, with the whole health core, stamina core, dead eye. I just sleep, eat, have some coffee once every two missions, you're fine. No big deal.
It only became an issue if you wanted to push it to either extreme.
Yeah, if you...
Because you really had to eat a lot. If you, I would say, if you wanted to become more tanky, you had to really keep
I was
up on
not.
That.
I did not eat enough. By the time the game was over, I was... I think I was the smallest
yeah, same.
You could be, which didn't...
It was like -5%.
Yeah, whatever. But at the end of the day, it did not matter one bit.
It's way more noticeable online than it is...
Oh, yeah, I'm not that far into that aspect of the game yet, so that is good to know. The dialogue in this game is just an achievement in itself because you have... So many dialogue opportunities with these games' characters, it's ridiculous. Just every time you go back to camp, in between missions, it's different. There's different dialogue every time you finish a story mission. And there are so many story missions. That is incredible how that game functions in that capacity where it just... It's always changing... Like, no matter what you do, sure, you can sit there and not do anything and it'll get repetitive. But is that your fault or is that the game's fault? That was, I thought they did a very good job. And it's not like it got repetitive quickly. Like, it changed up a lot because I tested it. I played poker with people. I chatted up everybody around the camp. It stayed fresh for... longer than I care to mention how long I pushed it for. Main story is done very well because it's a prequel. We all know how it ends to a degree. It's like walking into Star Wars Episode 3. We know what's going to happen at the end of this movie. But we still want to know how it gets there.
I enjoyed
Rogue One. Because I knew exactly what was going to happen. But I wanted to see how it happened. This game is kind of in the same boat. We've all played Red Dead. We know where it's going. We know it's going to happen. But the story they're telling is just so... Damn it. Lost that word. It was right there. And now it's gone.
Involved?
Encapsulating? What's that word?
Sure. That works too. I mean, we can do a full deep dive story next week. We've wanted to do a
Mike's been begging for that.
I just wanted you to finish it.
Well,
Michael, just turn off.
If he hasn't already, Mike is still here.
What?
Yeah. But yeah,
anybody still here?
Right. No, poor people. Anyway. I do want to spend some more time with GTA Online, like we mentioned before.
You mean Red Dead?
That too.
GTA Online, same thing, really.
It really is the same thing. I
hope it eventually grows as big.
Yeah, I do too, because I had a lot of fun in GTA Online. I think Red Dead has a potential to be that because the map is ginormous.
I wish that you could avoid story spoilers somehow before jumping into. I guess it's not story spoilers, but it kind of is, and you know what I mean with the map.
Yeah, and that was the first thing I checked. It was, where does online take place in terms of the story?
Everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of places you can go look to find story spoilers, but it takes place before the end of GTA, or GTA, goddammit, Red Dead. It has potential to open up. Maybe they give us some heists to do, bank robberies. I don't know. You can
and that's got to
already
be
rob,
in the pipeline.
Rob carriages and shit. There's a lot of stuff already out there, but
there is
way more room to add more because, like I mentioned before, the map is gigantic. You can complete Red Dead without opening up the entire map. That is very possible because I've done it. So, my number one, if you guys have forgotten or fallen asleep or turned it off, I'm sorry, it's Red Dead Redemption 2.
Whew.
What's next? What's our next list?
Thank you for sticking with us, everybody. I hope you segmented this, or you get up and stretch your legs now and get a glass of water. And
don't listen to it all at once.
It's a long one.
Said that at the beginning. But,
it's a good, yeah. It's a good year for games. It wasn't as flush as last year for the amount of content, but it was overall a good year.
Yeah, I still, exactly. This was definitely not a quantity year, but still a quality year, for sure.
Like, Especially for exclusives.
I definitely played fewer games than I did last year.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I mean, we still had lots of games we had a lot of fun with, so it doesn't really matter.
One surprise to me is that there's no Switch game on your list. That was surprising to me.
Well, I guess the Messenger is a Switch game.
What's your favorite Switch game of the year, just real quick?
Messenger. I mean, because the only other games I played,
What's your favorite Switch exclusive?
Donkey Kong was a remaster, so I don't really count that. And then, in all honesty, all the Switch games they put out this year, like they did the tennis game, which I wasn't really all about. And, Smash just came out, and I'm getting into that, but I'm too early to tell. Like,
there was no standout Switch game for you this year?
Right. I mean, yeah, this year was, yeah, like Mario Tennis, which I wasn't about, Smash, which I'm getting into, so we'll see.
Right.
And then there was a lot of, they did Captain Toad, which was a re-release, and they did Donkey Kong, which is a re-release.
And I think Sony killed Pokemon, it with exclusives this
And then
year.
Pokemon, which was not my thing.
Right,
either.
Well, yeah.
It was not a year for, like, first-party Switch games for me. I played a lot of third-party shit, like Bloodstained and 20XX, and hell, I put a lot of time into Gungeon on there, and Katamari just came out on Switch, the remaster, definitely getting that in the near future. So,
it looks like
not a big Nintendo year for me, but still a good Switch year overall. Still very much loving that.
Any 2019 resolutions, guys?
As far as
gaming,
beat every game on my SNES Classic. No,
I think for me, continue to expand my horizons, because over the past couple of years, it's introduced me to the Yakuza series, and I'm playing games like Gwent, and I'll be playing Path of Exile. It's just games that I don't typically play as often. I'm jumping into, so I like that I'm experiencing more styles of games instead of just staying in my comfort zone.
Yeah,
so I guess continuing
more,
to do that.
I want to play more old shit, like playing Metroid.
Stuff to catch up on. That's like,
I mean,
that
not
you've
necessarily
never
catch up on. Like, I haven't played a lot of my old favorites. I start stuff like Chrono Trigger all the time, and I play for a couple hours.
And don't finish it.
I want to play through Final Fantasy VI again. Like, I haven't done a proper playthrough of that game.
You know what? That's a good resolution.
Long time. Like, Earthbound, I haven't played a lot. Basically,
play some of your favorites.
I want to put a lot of mileage into my SNES Classic this year. Just playing this Metroid, playing Metroid the last couple of days is like, man, this is the best console they ever made. It's the best system ever. And yeah, I'm gonna fall in love with that system all over
again.
Too
bad they didn't leave it open to let people add games, because God, the potential there is.
It's really easy.
No, I know it. I'm just saying, out of the box, the way they expect it, it's just too bad.
Yeah, that's.
Or they just knew what people were going to do, so they were fine.
Yeah, and that allows them to make a SNES Classic 2 someday, if they would like.
With the 30 new games. What about you, Ben? Exactly. You have a resolution?
Well, I was going to say, mine's probably playing more new stuff, considering that my 2018 list is so rough around the edges. I don't think I got to play around.
There wasn't as much quantity out there this year.
We had a lot of quality, that's
for
sure.
Well, some of the stuff isn't your... Oh, yeah. But also, some of this stuff's just not your style. Like, you're gonna play Celeste. You probably would have played it whether I wanted you to or not. But it just wasn't. It wasn't a day one for you. It's not. It still isn't.
Right. So, and I mentioned, I got that. I got Dead Cells chilling on my little list on Steam. I'll grab those when they jump on sale, and then I still want to get into Assassin's Creed Odyssey still. And
yeah, there's still games that we haven't even gotten to play yet.
2019 is going to start fast.
How many other games are?
I think to piggyback on that point as well, I would like to definitely be more patient when it comes to buying games, especially with, I think, all three of our gamers clubs are running out in 2019 since they are closing
the
program. True. Not to mention with, you know, seeing stuff like Hitman and Fallout, like going as low as in Call of Duty, going
that
as low as
really
like 50% off within a month of release, like
that
trying
sucked.
To be more patient on picking up games day one. I mean,
but
I'm
I don't
sure
regret
going to be. No, I don't. Not at all. I don't regret, but especially now when we're going back to paying full $60 for all of our games since Gamers Club.
Picking and choosing day one releases,
maybe,
essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I'm probably going to be a little
I think
more
I'm on board with that.
On my day ones versus, I'll wait a month.
The sales seem to be pretty consistent over the past couple years, though.
Especially
that
later
I'm
in
pretty
the
confident
year.
That I can play what I want to at some point.
Yeah,
like plus, there's so much backlog content now.
That's the thing
that
too,
we're coming
like,
to the end of PS4. It's like
so
might as well.
Many games I can still play. It's like
no, that
I'm,
makes sense.
I'm never dying for a game to play. I can always have. I always have something to play. So
yeah,
but yeah.
There's
so
still
just,
a few
a little
PS
patient.
Plus games
Very
I
true.
Want to play too. Mm-hmm. So good year though. Thank you everybody for. Hanging out with us and sticking
Much
through
thanks.
Another season, and we really appreciate all of you. And to the people that have given me feedback, just like straight up, I appreciate that. We appreciate you guys, and you guys know who you are. We appreciate it. We really, really do, and we're excited to do another new season. We're going to be adding a few little things, changing around some. Little format things to keep things fresh for you guys, but yeah, thank you guys. We really appreciate it.
Tune in next week as we will probably spend almost as much time talking about what we've been playing in the last 3 weeks. So,
don't threaten them like that, Mike. Come on,
it's not going to be another 3 hours. Please love us. Please
hours.
Continue to
I
listen.
Promise.
Please don't.
Oh God, it'll never happen again. We're sorry.
This
I'm
will
sorry.
Be the longest podcast every year, so
this is.
Thank you
yeah,
for
it always is.
Sticking it out, but this will bring this episode and this year of episodes to an end. So, Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Fett the Assassin.
Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
And you can find me on Twitter at Just Survive, on Twitch at The Just Survive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWMPod. You can also visit our website at NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact information, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe to our show there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always ask, go and leave us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week we thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.
Peace.
Oh, God, it's finally over.